All right, doing things a little bit different, but I promised you the raw, uncut version of the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show powered by Polaris Razor out at Sand Sports Show with our partners at Pro Armor. So this is it. No commercials, uncut, raw, words dropped, extended length. You wanted it. You got it. Right here, this is as raw and as uncut as it gets. I do have to say a big shout out to all of our amazing partners, though. We're not running commercials in this one. We're running in the national cut. So, yes, thank you, General Tire, Polaris Razor, Vision Wheel, Fistful of Bourbon, GSPX-TV Axles, Dirtfish, Acronis, Pro Armor, obviously, who helped support us out there, our good friends at Optimus. We have so many amazing partners that help make this show happen. So thank you, guys. This is a one-off, but I promised an extended length cut, uncut, raw, unfiltered, and that's what you're getting right here. So, yes, enjoy this one, and we'll see you next time on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show powered by Polaris Razor. All right, we are live here with the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, coming at you from the Sand Sports Show in the Pro Armor booth with our partners at Pro Armor, Jim Beaver, Tiffany Stone holding it down. We've also got a special guest commentator after about 10 years of trying, Brittany Cardone. We've got Maddie Wedeking here as well, one of the big winners on the year, UTV Division and the Legacy Series. But welcome, ladies, to the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right, see, we got somebody that's going to carry the torch. This one right here, my co-host, she just completely bailed out on me already.
No. I'm honestly just looking at Brittany, waiting for Brittany. Brittany was like, okay, and am I supposed to say hello at this moment? She's like, wait a minute.
I'm laughing at the 10-year buildup, right? So now everybody's going to be paying attention. But on top of that, I thought we were still in the corner being muted. So I didn't think he gave us talking rights yet.
Nobody listens to this show. We're just on serious, you know? I could go so many ways to make it uncomfortable, but we're not going to do it. We've got you sitting here.
Go for it.
Yes. So, yeah, we are out here at Sand Sports Pro Armor booth. I know things got kicked off yesterday. We got shenanigans to talk about from last night later on in the show. I'm sure we'll get into that when we got time.
Don't
filler,
know
but
what you're talking
Maddie
about.
Maddie is actually working today, and you've got a small window. You decide to spend your lunch break with us, so I guess you're not eating today, right?
No, but this is much better than eating.
Is it?
Yeah, I can snack all day, actually.
You've been trying.
Brit just gave me Chipotle, so I'm solid.
I got you.
I'm wondering what's going on with that burrito, because you've tried to pawn it off on three people, and it's got your name on it.
So legitimately, somebody tried to buy it for $23 at the booth.
Why didn't you sell it?
I said 24 because it has guac.
All right. Duly
solid
noted.
Point.
Yeah, solid point.
Anyway,
we don't have
so Maddie, it's here if you want it.
Thank you.
But you can have it for $22.
Oh, she'll throw in the special. Free
20 even.
20.
I like you.
The Sand Sports special, 20 even.
Down and dirty special.
Oh, boy. I don't know if you want it.
I don't want that.
Yeah, we could go a lot of directions with that.
And we're just going to pivot back to you, Maddie. Obviously, you're having a great day. Welcome to all of this.
Your dad's got you working, though.
Yeah, so I'm working the PRP Seats booth this entire weekend. We started yesterday around 4 o'clock, and I'll be here till closing tomorrow.
Yeah, so, I just love it. You're not just racing. They're putting your ass to work. That's
good. Yeah, are you kidding me? Yeah. I love working Sand Show.
Your dad's like, no freeloaders.
Yeah, exactly.
No freeloaders.
Yeah, he's like, you work here, you better do this.
So. Awesome. How many Sand Sports shows have you been to?
Oh, gosh.
That's what I'm asking. I'm like, who's been to more? You guys have probably been to about the same amount.
Yeah, I mean,
probably,
since I was
yeah.
a baby, I've
I was
been
gonna
coming
say.
To the show or to this event. But working it has probably only been 6 years.
That's still pretty good.
Only, yeah. right? Only been 6 years. The question is how many,
are you 21
how many
yet?
Bud Lights?
No.
That's
how many Bud
say.
Lights do you think your dad's drank at this show?
Oh, thousands. How many has he given away? Millions. He's like, oh, you're going to buy some seats? How about a Bud Light?
I've always said that's the best thing. If somebody had a bunch of cases of beer in back, hey, I'll sell you this, and, you know, the bonus prize, a 12-pack, like more people would buy product.
We had a margarita machine 1 year.
Did it have the two-stroke?
Yeah, we had the full-on industrial pull margarita machine, and we had never sold so much product.
Did you get them drunk first, and then you were like, here, buy lots of
No,
things.
That would be unethical.
Yeah, they were only selling $8,000 long travel kits.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, this is my first one.
Yeah, it is your first
Sand
Sports show.
It is.
I don't know. I've been to probably five of them at this point, maybe. I don't know.
not a season disease too, but.
Same thing every year. But this year's actually been one of the most crowded years I think I've seen.
Agreed, yeah.
Just with it not happening for the past 2 years, and then now it's
the debacle
crazy.
That they had in Arizona last year.
Oh, yeah. The 4 hours it was open.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Just looking around right now, like, it's insane.
Yeah. So, I mean, you guys, like, something like this, you guys crank through. What do you – I mean, you obviously don't have a – truck full of seats, like, are you just taking pre-orders, stuff like that?
Yeah, so we have a lot of our, like, fast turn items, which are like harnesses, limit straps, bags, anything like that that they can easily just grab and go, we have here. And then we also offer them like a 10% discount on seats for and free shipping for a lot of the seats here. So they'll do a pre-order now, and then we'll crank it out, and they'll have their seats within 4 weeks.
All right.
So there's one thing that I will say about PRP from a vendor standpoint is with all the chaos and COVID and the backups and everything that everybody has, you guys are the only company. Yeah, the only company this year that I can think of that I placed an order. And not only were you guys on time, I actually got a copy of an emailed invoice. You know, just things that should be standard that aren't. Like,
yeah.
You guys literally are the model company, and I'm not just saying that. But, like, that's what I said. As somebody that actually has spent money with several people this year, like, you guys have it down, and I am very impressed
with how
everything
Thank
went.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. Customer service is huge for PRP, so we always try to make sure that everyone's happy, whether you're buying a $20 bag or you're buying, you know, $3,000 worth of seats. We want you to be happy in all aspects.
Oh, and we'll call. And that was the thing. So doing custom, like start to finish, custom seats, stitching, to not have something wrong, first off, because, you know, you kind of expect that actually. Not throwing Chipotle under the bus, but, what, we lost a burrito today somehow in transit. So, it's kind of expected these days. So to actually get everything right and then send somebody to will call, you're waiting for that call because somebody's not authorized or this or that. And, like, everything went the way it should.
Yeah.
Like, it was impressive.
That's our goal.
Let's talk a little bit about Maddie Racing this year. She had a big breakthrough at Baja Nevada, took home a nice first-place trophy there. How was that one?
That was awesome. That's such a great feeling. I was really happy because I was tied in second for points at the start of that race, and now that bumped me up to first in points overall for the series. So we have another race in about 2 weeks, and we start first off the line there in Prim, so hopefully I can just keep that pace going and continue that for next race.
Yeah, how is that new car? I know you were telling me earlier, it's like night and day difference in the old one.
Night day. I used to have a two-seat car, and just the wheelbase was so much shorter, so I'd have to just drive completely different. I'd have to check up for things I shouldn't have to. Now this four-seater, it doesn't even feel like I'm in a Razor. I feel like I'm in, like, a trophy truck in that thing. Yeah, just the long wheelbase. I can just pin it over everything and hope for the best. And obviously, it's been working, so I can't complain yet.
Great strategy. Right?
I know. She's like, just pin it over everything and hope for the best. I feel like that is just, like, a motto for any, like, driver, racer, anybody out there. Just send it.
Exactly. Just send it.
Checkers or wreckers, right?
That is true.
Right?
So what's the plans for next year? Obviously, you're doing the Legacy Series, and you've been kind of bouncing around. What are the plans? Obviously, you're trying to win an NA championship this year with Legacy.
So I'm still trying to finalize my plans for next year. But I want to do Legacy and then do some of the bigger-named races next year. So the Mint 400, UTV World Championships, Vegas to Reno, you know, the big races that – hi. That
squirrel.
That attracts a lot of people. Sorry. I got my
Southern
parents over there distracting me. But, yeah, no, I have a lot of plans, and I'm just trying to see what the sponsors want me to go and which direction they want me to go in. But it should be Legacy and all of the bigger-named races after that.
Nice. Romo's, have they tried to buy that car back from you?
Randy tried.
I was going to say, because at the beginning he was running something else, and I'm like,
yeah.
I know he's probably going – I shouldn't have sold that car.
Exactly.
Mitchie did the same thing to me. He shows up at Parker, and I've got Mitchie's old car. And he's, like, in some car they spliced together to go run because he's waiting on his new one. And Mitchie's like, what? He's like, this is so dumb. Why did I sell the car to you? And I felt like Romos were doing the same thing with you.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome, though. In the beginning, they were like, we don't have a car now to race. And we're in the middle of the season. And I was like, ooh, that was kind of bad for me to buy it in the middle of the season. Sorry, guys. But, no, he ended up borrowing one of his friend's car. And, I mean, he did great. I think he got, like, third in one of the races.
He was hauling in that
he
thing.
He was hauling in that
I was like, oh, Randy's going to be a non-factor. And then he shows up. I think it was, like, UTV Worlds or something. And everybody's like, what just happened? Randy's in, like, a stock car just gone.
Getting it. He's such a fast and amazing driver. I just drove with him for the first time this past week. And it was insane how fast he was. So, honestly, he's going to rip whatever he goes in.
Yeah, all of them can. Well, Mama Romo can freaking haul, too. And I was like, she didn't get the credit she deserves. That lady can drive.
No, she's actually super fast. Yeah, she's beat me at one of the races. I went against her. I'm like, oh, I got her. Mama ain't got nothing on me. And no, Mama whooped my butt.
That's what I was going to say. Like, one time she started talking trash to Randy or something, and it was I can't remember. My favorite story, though, they were talking, and she's like, you need to let me race or something. And so her maiden last name is the same as my last name. And so she looks at Randy, and she goes, well, if you're not going to race, I'll just go race with him. We don't have to change the name on the car. And Randy looked at me, and he looked at her like, oh, my gosh, really?
She's fast. Now I know where Sierra gets it from. It's yeah. From Mama Bear.
Yeah. She's got some spice, too. I love it.
Oh, I love it. That whole family is just amazing.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
So, I guess you're on lunch break here at SandSports, midday Saturday. Then we got a couple of weeks, and then you go racing again. What else is in plans this year?
Right after that, we actually have UTV World Championships.
Yeah.
Like 2 weeks after the next race. So, immediately we get back, and we start prepping for the next one. Then a couple weeks after that is another Legacy race, and then shortly after that should be the Mint. So, we have a lot of races back-to-back. So
This fall's nuts.
Yeah, I feel like everything got postponed to now. So, you know, after this weekend, it's going to be pretty hectic for all the racers, for sure.
Yeah. You got anything, Tiffany Stone? You've been awful quiet over there.
Yeah.
I just enjoy her. Like, I'm smiling like a schoolgirl over here. But it's just so awesome to see so many young, like the younger generation. I mean, Jim and I, you know, we've explained how old we are based on.
I was going to say, are you calling yourself old right now?
You should see the things that we like try to explain to a younger generation, and Jim and I, like, we just aged ourselves. But it's just really, really cool to hear all these things and hear, you know, what you want to do. And I guess for me, it's just, I always like to know, like, the starting point. Like, what made you, obviously you have the background, you know, with everything here, but really what made you want to buy, you know, Randy's old car and be like, this is something that I want to do?
So I actually was racing before that.
Mm-hmm.
With my dad being the former owner of PRP Seats, I kind of was raised in this off-road community. And I went to all the trade shows with him. I went to the races with him. And then I noticed, there's not a whole lot of girls doing this.
Yeah.
How do I get involved? And dad's like, oh, this is expensive. Maybe we shouldn't do that. And then, you know, being his little girl, I'm like, Dad, please. And then, you know, I talked my way into it. And my first race was almost 5 years ago now. And I won my very first race. I was in a 900 in the 1000 class. And then we took the championship that year. And then dad's like, let's go race Best in the Desert. I was like, okay, that sounds fun.
Now she's just showing off, right? Yeah. I was in a 900 in the 1000 class.
Yeah.
Took home first place, you know.
Yeah, my dad always raced me because I played soccer before that. And then he'd always put me with the older kids because he always said, you have to surround yourself by people who are better than you.
Yep.
That way you can improve.
Push, yep.
And
so it was just a decision. You said, I'm here. I might as well. Let's do this.
Yeah, exactly. And then being 15 years old and racing in Best in the Desert against all these grown men, I'm like, oh, God, Dad, this is kind of intimidating.
It's so more intimidating for them than it is for you.
Yeah.
Like, because they're like, unfortunately, they're like, oh, we got to beat Maddie. Like, if I beat one person, it's got to be Maddie. And it's like, they'll go and yard sale their car just to not get passed
by you. Not to get passed by a girl. That's fine. Yard sale your car. I'm just going to be like, see you later.
The cool thing about our industry, though, we've had this thing. It's like a few years ago, like, it was, you know, having girls that raced, things like that, it was like, it was this anomaly. But now we've got this whole generation, you, Shelby Anderson, Sierra, I mean, I can go down the list, Mia Chapman, like, there's a list of amazingly talented girls that are coming in, and now it's like there's an equality there where they don't look at you guys as, oh, these are girl racers, just racers.
Yeah, exactly. When we put our helmets on, we're just another racer. It doesn't matter, boy, girl, doesn't matter, just we're another racer out there, and as long as people see that, we're good. We've done our jobs as females in the sport, if we have that equality.
Well, and they're racing well. That's the thing. It's not just that they're racing. They're racing well. They're competitive. That's been the nice thing, is to watch everybody put in their time and really stopped. So it's so weird having this conversation because, like, at one point I raced against your dad at King of the Hammers. Right? Like, yeah. And so now I'm sitting here talking about you. And it's like now we're here in the car with the next generation. And it's I'm not trying to age myself.
You done aged it.
You already did it. You don't try to do
no,
it.
No,
no.
But it's like,
I do laugh, though, because you two, like, you grew up in the UTV industry. Your dad had a company. Then you came in. You helped run the company. You know, you've raced, things like that. And then I see you, and I'm like, literally, there's a lot of parallels between the two of you. Like, your upbringing, your background, like, you guys were very much raised in the industry in the
Our
same way.
Our dads don't let us off the hook, right?
Yeah, right.
You might get to bat your eyes. That never worked for me.
Getting a race, because I convinced him because he was in the passenger seat.
Oh, yeah, see, there you go. But, like, everything's been on merit.
I've seen you manipulate your dad. It was a Bronco.
Yeah, I passed it off on you. Yeah, I go, he likes you more than me.
There's truth to that. She does do that all the time.
No, but it is. It's awesome. Like, I remember, you know, her going to, like, when she first was coming out to the races and working at the booth, like, oh, what was it? Off-Road Expo, back when we had the RC cars. I was 12 years old out there selling T-shirts. Yeah. And you look now, and it's nice being established at such a young age. And you've done such a good job of, like, presenting yourself in an amazing manner. You know, you're not taking advantage of circumstances. Like, you really are pushing to do everything that the best you can. Like, I'm super impressed.
Yeah, thank you. We could thank my parents for that one. Yeah, I won't take any responsibility. That was all my parents doing. They made me work hard for everything.
See, humble, too, right? Yeah.
No, well, I know you're on your lunch break, Maddie, and you got about 10 minutes left of that, but thanks for stopping by. Seriously, I love the way you carry yourself, everything you're doing on the track. Like, just keep being you because good things are coming.
Thank you so much. It means a lot.
All right, we're out here at the SandSport Show in the Pro Armor booth on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Got my Razor teammate in... big-time winner Ryan Piplik on.
I do my best.
You do your best. You're coming off, I don't know, quite a few wins. I mean, UTV Worlds last year. Now we got Laughlin. I know you and I were joking, and the kids now just expect Disneyland trips every time you win. So it's going to get pretty pricey winning, buddy.
Yeah, if that's the case, because as soon as I got off the track, they were screaming, Disneyland, Disneyland, we're going. I was like, I didn't make that promise, guys, not this time. Maybe we'll go to Six Flags. That might be a little cheaper.
So I said, just take him to Circus Circus in Vegas, right? Yes,
where's the local fairgrounds around here?
Oh, man. That's a good problem to have, though, right?
I'll take that problem all day long. I ain't going to complain.
They say, like, you know, when it rains, it pours. And I know, like, you and I talked at UTV Worlds, and everybody, like, you became, like, the dark horse. Everybody knew how fast you were, but you kind of got – you were talking about, you like, you felt like you were forgotten about. And then that win came, and now we've got this win, and I feel like now it's like, all right, you're on the radar now. And you're leading points, right, in two series or Best of the Desert, correct?
So we just took the points lead. I actually just talked to Dustin probably an hour ago, and he's like, I did the points. Dude, you're ahead by 1 point. I'm like, good for me. I guess it's a checkers or records race on this one coming up.
Yeah.
And then Legacy, we have – between Dan Fisher and I want to say it's within 5 or 10 points. So it's going to come down to the last two races there as well. So it's no stress.
No stress. It's the same situation with us in the Unlimited class. I think it's more than a couple points, but it's basically a win. You know, whoever wins is going to take home the championship.
Exactly.
Or, you know, I think I got to win and he's got to finish like third or something like that. You know, it's one of those where it's still up for grabs. It's like, it's interesting going in the last race. And normally it's like, all right, we got to have a game plan, and that being the way it is, it's like, no, just send it. Like, there's no.
Yeah. I have to be very careful because Best on Desert changed their schedule to where they're going to race Friday before Legacy. So I have Best on Desert Friday and they're doing a 1 day race now. And then Legacy is on Saturday, 5 hours away in Cedar City, Utah. So I got to pack my car up, drive 5 hours to Cedar City and race another 210 miles on Saturday. So I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but hey, two championships, here we go.
God, that's nuts. In the same car, like.
Same car. I'm going to have everything all prepped, ready to go. So when we show up at the track, we're just like, all right, part swap time, let's go.
So you need an enclosed trailer and somebody driving, you just sit in the back of the enclosed trailer wrenching on stuff?
We're making that joke that somebody's going to be in the trailer wrenching, but unfortunately, I'm the only mechanic. So, you know, I got my buddies that help out, and we'll just basically make it work. We'll pull an all-nighter if we have to, and I'll sleep on Sunday.
Yeah, I guess you're lucky. Well, Parker race is pretty brutal because it won't get too rough because it's day one we're racing, but And then Cedar's a little bit shorter of a race too, right? So it's not like you got two 300-mile races.
Well, Cedar's 210 miles.
Okay.
So it's 370-some mile loops, and nobody knows what we're going to do at Best in the Desert right now. They said it was a two-day when we originally had it. Now they're going to do a one-day race. I'm going to assume it's going to be a short course style. And the only thing I heard is a 26-mile loop.
Yeah, and I'm familiar with that. And they said, all-new loop. And I'm like, I don't think it's an all-new loop. I think it's, I don't know.
An all-new loop from 10 years ago?
Well, I laugh because it's on the reservation, and there's literally only so many roads there. And I'm like, this is my background, or this is my backyard, you know? Like, I know every trail, and I'm like, there's no way to do an all-new course. Like, on the reservation, there's no way to do an all-new course. So it's like, I know it's an all-new start, so.
Well, that should be fun.
Yeah. So I think instead of side-by-side, they're going to start us like they did at Laughlin, where it's like 8 wide or
Please
something.
Please tell me no land rush start.
You don't like the land rush start?
No. Did you see Serapis go turtle on us at
no,
the first
I guess.
Turn?
No,
I don't mind it. I trust myself. I don't trust anybody else. That's the problem.
There you go. I like it as long as we do a dead engine start. If we can do a dead engine, that will separate us and give us a little wiggle room where we're not going to take each other out. Because Dustin and I had a joke. He's like, how much do you like your car? I was like, I like it enough to where I'm still going to hit you. And he's like, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to take you out. And it was just banter back and forth, and it was fun. So I just hope we don't have that, because if one of us takes the car out in the first turn, I'm going to feel really bad. You know, it's like I want it to come head-to-head, go down to the wire.
Well, and that's truthfully with this race, I'd almost rather us start 2x2 or something like that, because I feel like with those, especially with all these championships on the line, you hate to get taken out of a championship in the first turn when you didn't have a chance to compete for the championship. I'm like, so like to me, I don't want these to become like commonplace where we do these land rush starts. Like once a year it's something like Laughlin, okay, I'll deal with it. You know what I mean? But I don't know. To me it's like I want to race the track. I don't want to race to the first turn and have
And in my opinion, Parker has one of the best starts out there, because it's the parallel lines back and forth, and then you come together a quarter mile down the road and you're like, that was fun, and you can separate yourselves.
Yeah.
So that's what I think every racer looks forward to. And if they take it out, I'm not going to lie, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah, and that's – I already told Jeff, I was like, I've been putting pressure on him. I'm like, don't change it. I was like, you don't need to change for the sake of change.
Yeah.
Like, when something's good, it's still good. Like,
well, if you want to do change, make it 3 lanes wide. You know, have fun. You'd be like, all right, we'll put 3 cars wide. We can get them out faster and go have at it.
And especially because there's the berms built up, like you said, you can't cross over. So by the time you do half a mile down the road, somebody's got a gap on the other or something.
Exactly.
You know? So, yeah. So you got a busy – so are you going to UTV Worlds too?
Yes. So I have
– I was going to say – so
my wife reminds me, 4 races in 5 weeks with a doubleheader in 1 weekend. So is that actually 6 races? Yeah.
She looks so thrilled right now.
She keeps making the joke that, like, this is why the gray hairs are showing up, and this is why I'm going to be gray by the time I'm 40.
Well, all the racing, I know you posted something on Instagram a while back, and I got to give you a high five, dude. You've been working out, getting into shape. I know you've been working on, I guess with all this racing, you almost have to, though, right? Between the shop time and the race time and everything, like you got to have some kind of fitness level, right?
Yeah, so I basically hit almost 240 pounds, and I was like, no, this ain't happening. So we did a program called 75 Hard, and it was 2 45-minute workouts a day. You're on a diet. Drink a gallon of water, basically stick to it and do it 75 days. And I ended up losing close to 30 pounds. I got down to 206. Now I plumped back up to like 215. But, no, I feel way better. And I'm going to get back into a program to where I can basically keep working out and stay in shape.
That's awesome, though. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I bet after the races you feel a little bit better, too. Like some of these races you just beat up, and now all of a sudden you're probably like, oh, yeah, I could probably go cut another couple laps, right?
I've always felt that way. You know, racing to me is like the easy part. So my fitness I don't think is too big of a deal. So going out there and doing a 500-600-mile race is not a big deal for me. My biggest struggle is actually getting time to work in the garage and make sure everything's all prepped.
Yeah, you got the day job and then the night job?
Yep. Yeah, I get 2 jobs, basically working on the race car and then working full-time for a company back in Vegas.
Yeah, got to get the kids so they know how to wrench on the car, and you got your assistants.
Oh, I got the assistants, but then I always have to double and triple check because you're like, what'd you do to that bolt?
Make them the parts washers. And the
yep, pressure washer. They're very good at pressure washing, and it usually ends up me getting pressure washed sometimes.
Get even for...
payback for all the times that we're basically out there at the track. They're like, well, this is where we're going to have our fun now.
Yeah. So, you know, I got to say, you're kind of like with this new race car, you've been ahead of the game because, you know, you took the two-seat Pro XP platform. You're the first guy to step up and run that car. And now all of a sudden I'm looking and, like, everybody's following suit with, like, almost the same platform.
Yeah, what do we call that, a trendsetter? Yeah. So
there's yeah, we got Dustin Jones talking trash over there. You're not walking by and not getting mic'd up at this point, dude.
Well, my interview just went downhill because he's going to take over.
No. I will say we've got Dustin Jones on the Polaris Razor show. So,
oh, is that
there we go.
I had to do that.
Is that what this is? Oh man! Now all of a sudden I feel ganged up on.
Dude, that was total setup job right there,
dude. I've been planning this all day. To be honest with you, I've been looking for you to sit down over here so we could sit head to head and do a stare down.
Let's do it. Let's go.
Just do a stare down.
I know.
We were just talking about the points championship.
Yes.
You know, you guys are like in a gridlock going into Parker. So,
and so whenever I added it up, you were 1 point ahead of me.
I'm going to believe what you said. You just told me, and that's what I told him. I was like, he just told me we're 1 point apart. And I'm like, checkers or records at this next race.
That's what makes the last race dicey is because you do say, all right, let me try to conserve. Because we only had 5 races this year in Best in the Desert, so you can't do bad at any of them.
Yep.
And so do you conserve and like, hey, man, I want a podium finish for the championship, but I know how you are. And I know how I am. I'm not going to do that. So
yeah,
it's literally going to come down to win or wad for you and I.
What I'm going to always have in the back of my mind is when we're on the start line at Laughlin, it's like, how do you like your car?
So this is what I did. We had the side-by-side start 8 cars wide at Laughlin.
Yeah.
And I knew he was right behind me in points going into that race. So I walked over to him. I said, hey, dude, just getting an idea, like, how much do you like your car? He's like, well, I like it. I said, okay, so well, I'm just telling you, I'm willing to yard sale my car in the first corner. So if you're going to hold it down as long as me, we're both going out. And so
I was like, are you going to make me bring my short course style back? And like, hey, let's figure out how to flip cars again.
He had a quick flashback and said, oh, man, let's spread out a little bit before we get out there. But you still did it. You had a great race in Laughlin.
Yes, you did too. It was fun. That's a fun course. It used to be my nemesis, and now I'm slowly loving that course.
It's surprising how well the cars are starting to hold up. You also raced out at Laughlin, right?
Yeah. I with this new car we bought at Guthrie's, it's awesome when you have a bad day and it's fourth place.
Yeah, that is good, right?
No, we cut a tire on the first lap in the dust, and my co-driver and I look at each other, and we immediately, you know, cut a tire, and I like, do we get out in the dust? No, we don't change it. We're like, I can still run this thing at 85% and get to the finish, you know, get to the pit, and they'll change it. You know, 20 seconds. So it's like, all right, let's do that. So we dropped back to freaking 20th because, you know what I mean? And so changed it, went back out, and then it was just dust and had to pass cars, and we ended up fourth. And we moved to second in the points. So
did you really?
Yeah, so we're second in the points going into Parker, and I think Isom's got us by a few points or something. So it's same scenario. And Isom and I have already been talking. It's just it's checkers or records for us, too. It's like whoever wins is probably going to win the championship.
Really? Know? It'll come down to you and Isom for that last race, huh?
Yeah. Well, there's a kid behind us a couple points, too, that had a good day at Laughlin, and he kind of bounced back up there. But it's pretty much Isom and I, and if both of us DNF, he would probably win the championship. But.
So this whole three-way start that we were talking about, using Parker's start, doing 3 cars instead of the 2, there you go. That worked out in your guys' favor.
Yeah.
I think so, man. I'm curious to how they'll start this. And I guess it really – just I'm so curious because you and I are so tight in points that I'm like, all right, I need to know what the start is. Like, is it 2 wide? Is it 3 wide? Is it 1 at a time? Is it the leader takes off first? It makes me a nervous wreck.
Everything's such a gray area with Best in the Desert right now. It's like it feels like you don't know until the day before because then they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to do this now.
Yes.
And I'm like, guys, I don't work that way. I love to fly by the seat of my pants, but can I at least have like 5 minutes heads up?
Yeah. Well, that's the conversation that I had at Laughlin because originally it was supposed to be a dead engine start for the race.
Yep.
And so I qualified accordingly. And I told him, look, like I could have stripped my car down, put 30s on it, put a 100X tune on it and tried to qualify harder than what I did.
Yep.
But I said, okay, we need to be in the top 8. Like, let's lay it out there accordingly and right where we wanted to start. But, I mean, you can't drop those bombs. When we're racing at our level and it's as close as, like, you and Isom and then myself and Ryan, like, I need to know in advance what is it because my strategy changes.
Yeah, I guess we took it for granted that we're like, oh, yeah, we always do this every year. It'll be a dead engine. So I had to get my prep because I never had my car to start in gear.
Yeah.
So I had to change that and get that prepped up. And guess what happened?
Yeah.
They're like, surprise.
Yeah, I know. Flipped it on us. So.
You know what I love about the UTV community, though? It's like, all right, here, you got you guys and obviously different, you know, different manufacturers. We're still friends. You guys are in a championship. And it's like, you know, everybody's friends, go race. You're not friends on the track. Then as soon as the race is over, it's like high fives. Let's, you know, let's talk about it. It's actually pretty cool that the UTV community is that way.
Yep.
You know, because I've raced in other classes, stuff like that, where it gets cutthroat. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying it's not in UTV, but I feel like everybody's got a mutual respect. And you know, we're all friends behind the scenes, you know?
Yeah. It definitely is like that for the UTV class, man. And it's cool to race that away to where, Ryan, you and I have a lot on the line right now. We're in the Pro Turbo class, which for UTVs, everybody would consider that the top class.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's potential for sponsorships for next year. I know there's a lot of contingency money on the line.
There's a lot of motivation to take yourself into the next year and continue your program and basically excel. So,
yeah,
like you said, it's motivation to take your program to the next level.
Yeah, but outside of that, like he and I can sit down, have a good conversation, talk about the next race, what's on the line. I'm sure you and Michael are good friends.
Yeah, we are. We have a little fun, talk a little trash, but it's like, you know, high fives after the race. Like, it's just all in fun. Like, he's actually become a really good friend of mine, and it's a solid dude, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But that's what makes it, I don't know, for me, because it's such a sacrifice on this level, and a lot of these guys are independent racers, and like we're spending our personal money to get out there. And so it makes it a little more enjoyable to not go out there with that kind of animosity or anything towards the next racers. Like, I enjoy seeing you guys out there. The other Guthrie and Sims, the other Polaris guys, all the K&M guys, I enjoy spending time with them. I like interacting with them. So it incentivizes you a little more of, like, this is going to be a fun experience. We're going to race hard, but we still have a good time.
Exactly. You know, it's one of those things where the helmet goes on, hey, business starts.
Agreed.
But when the helmets are off, everybody's like, hey, let's go do this. Let's go do that. It's basically one big family. You know, it's probably oversaid. But it really is. Everybody goes out there, enjoys the company, and, you know, we're here to have a good time.
Yeah.
It is actually pretty cool, too, because just thinking about it, you know what I mean? You got, you know, your guys' class and, the, you know, Turbo, and it's coming down to the wire, and it's deadlock, and you got a Polaris and a Can-Am. You know, you look at Unlimited, and, you know, you got same thing.
That's,
you know, it's
true.
Deadlock, and it's Polaris and Can-Ams. It's actually kind of cool that racing at those levels with these factory programs, everything's so evenly matched at this point, you know? It's like there's no real advantage. Certain courses favors one car, other courses favor the other, but it's like at the end of the day, you know, everybody's still pretty stacked up equally. It's kind of cool.
It makes the racing a little more exciting when definitely manufacturers going head-to-head. The other conversation I had with somebody the other day, I think it was Christian Serapis, is I love seeing guys come from other genres that are super fast at their racing because it brings another element of there. There's not three or four guys that are just running away with the wins, that there's groups of guys that on any given Sunday, somebody can win that race.
Well, I think you said the best thing. You're like, I would rather race against the best guys in the world than just go out there and dominate, because it just elevates the game to the next level and elevates your personal game to that next level as well. So, you know, I love to see the competition. I don't care who comes out. You know, you want to bring the best driver out here, what, like Lewis Hamilton or something?
Bring him.
Let's go.
I want to race against him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's tough because, like, whenever you and I ran, we went literally 8 laps within 8 to 10 seconds of each other in each other's dust. So the whole time you're hoping, like, man, I hope he gets a flat. Man, I hope he blows a belt. Like, I got to get around him so I can win. But in my soul, I'm like, don't break, Ryan. I want to try to catch you on your best freaking day.
Absolutely.
And you were the better man at Laughlin. Like, you got me. Like, I did everything I could to run you down, especially going into the last lap. I was going to lay it out there on the last lap.
I actually kicked it up the last lap, too, because I saw you there. I was like, I know what he's going to do. He's going to kick
it
up. So I basically went back and looked at the lap times, and I was like, I cut 30 seconds off my lap time.
He turned it up on the last one.
I was like, okay, I guess that worked.
So,
how crazy is it, though? Like, you know, even like Vegas Torino, my class, I don't know what splits were in turbo, but we finished 500 miles, and it was a minute 40 that separated first and second.
Wow.
You know, I think in our class at Silver State, it was 8 seconds between first and second. I'm like, it's actually nuts that we're at this point. And I know turbo class, same, you're talking about running 8 laps and within, you know, a few seconds of each other. And I'm like, how crazy is it we're actually running that close on these long distances and everything's so even that it's literally just, I mean, it's nuts. Like, you know, 5 years ago, it's like, oh, you finish, you're going to get a podium. Now, no. I mean, it's.
And it seems to be coming that way every single race, where it's not somebody just walking away with it. It's like, that guy got it by 10 seconds. That guy got it. Vegas Torino, I think, was that way. I think somebody was really close to where it was like you had to sit there and wait to find out the winner. So it makes racing that much more fun.
It's nerve-wracking to roll through finish line because you never know how something's going to finish. We've come through, you know, physically in the top and been beat on time. Or we've came through, you know, physically 10th or 12th position and won on corrected time.
Yeah.
And so
I'm
just
pretty sure you did that to me 3 or 4 years ago in Vegas Torino because I came in physically third and you beat me on time. And it was literally probably seconds. And I was like, damn it.
Yep. That's exactly what I was talking about, because we came from like 52nd up to like 12th position physical.
Yep.
But on corrected time, like we were just enough to get in the top three or four or something like that. So, but it's a testament to how good the rigs are holding up now. But it makes makes racing more exciting, because when we have 50 cars in class, are like, how many were running in your class with like you in unlimited class?
25.
Yeah, it's a lot of cars. So just because you come through physically first does not mean nothing. Yeah. You're sitting there watching the leaderboard, like seeing the numbers pop up. Where am I going to end?
Yeah, and that happened last year, I think, at UTV Worlds as well. It's like we came through and they're like, you won. You're like, no, there's so many cars behind us that I guarantee something's going to happen. And we sat for a long time until it became official. And I was like sitting there, I'm like, heart's pounding. I'm like, please, 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 please.
That's good. Well, cool, man. Thank you guys for letting me stop by.
No problem. It's thank you guys.
Appreciate
and I know
it.
We'll let you get going, Ryan, but always fun catching up, guys.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Got some good friends of ours, Scott and Rachel with High Lifter. Man, this is going to be a fun one. We got lots to talk about here. You guys are, I guess, a little bit away from home, though, right?
Yeah, but I feel pretty at home out here.
Well, I feel at home, but damn, it's 3 days to drive out here. It's a long way when you're bringing units. Some of us get to fly.
Some of us. I felt like you were just throwing her under the bus here a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told her earlier, I said, look, this is my last hurrah driving out here bringing units. She says, no, I love it. I was like, what do you love about it? Well, I get in the motorhome and I get in bed and you bring me coffee and then you drive.
And I
love it.
I just Netflix and wake up and we're here. I was like, But no.
You're a hell of a chauffeur, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah.
I am, but I am getting too old to chauffeur. I need to be chauffeured.
I can say, are you for hire? Because I'll hire you.
Yeah, yeah, negative. That's a hard pass. If I hire out, there's going to be a lot of zeros behind a one.
Oh. But we do feel at home out here in the sand. That's why we're here at the Super Show. We've got a lot of products out here, and that's literally one of the reasons we're out here. We love the sand and rock. I personally love the rock. He's a sand guy. The sand scares the hell out of me. So
there is, you know, the thing is like going to a place like Glamis is the first time is intimidating, especially with the Razorbacks, stuff like that. You've got to be very aware out in the sand, I think, you know?
Yeah.
You know what we learned about the sand is it's like reading a mud hole. You know, once you start figuring out what it looks like and what you're coming to, it's a lot the same. You know, the first time it's scary or, you know, intimidating, whatever word you want to use. I said scary because it was scary. And but once you start doing it, you go, okay, well, this kind of sand hill rolls over to this, and you start learning it, but I still don't want to go first.
But no, seriously, in the sand and in the mud, no kidding, you actually read the holes in the mud, and it's kind of crazy because people kind of laugh, but hey, it's a deal. It's a real thing.
I want to know this. So I have a lifted Jeep, which I don't go mudding a lot in, but I do the rocks and stuff like that.
Right.
So how do you, because my whole thing is whenever I see water, never go full into it because you don't know how deep it is, and then obviously you're going to sink. But how do you read a mud hole for somebody who does not know how to read a mud hole?
You just ease in, and if you just make sure you're above your snorkels, and you just ease in, and then, hey, you just stop, and you winch it to a tree. And you
She's right, but there's also some other things you can do. You literally can see different colors in the water where it's deeper
That's
and
true.
Shallower. You can see hints of grass, you know, coming through that'll give you, there's a lot of really subtle things that a novice just wouldn't even pay attention to. It just looks like a big water hole or mud hole. But you start learning that stuff and you go through about 100,000 mud holes in your life. And the really good riders, it's just like the guys in the desert. They know what's on the other side of that sand hill before they ever hit it, or the rock crawlers. And for mud riding, it's the same. I know that I can probably go, you know, 100 times farther, a lot faster than most other guys in the mud, just because I've been doing it so long, and I can tell I need to go this way, this way, this way, you know, go around that tree. It's the same thing.
Not me. I like to go stick a stick in the water and go see how deep
you,
it
you
is
like to know how deep it is?
Yeah. And my unit's like twice the size of his, so... But you know, I still have to go through and stick a stick.
That's a sound bite right there.
Yeah.
I'm just going to cut out, my unit is twice the size of his.
Yeah.
We're going to cut that sound bite.
That right there is priceless.
In the South, we call them bikes. And you guys call them cars, so we try to be like No, unit. I don't know.
I'm just going to put it out there. My mind went right there when that happened. Yeah. And so I know. And I know you guys have mud gnats, and I hear many, many great things. You know, a friend of ours, Pleasant Cook, 4x4 Barbie, you know, goes out. Is my Jeep available? Or am I able to come to like a mud gnats with my Jeep? It's only lifted 3.5 inches, so I don't know what I'm going to do. So,
37s.
I got 37s, but.
It's really, what would you say?
I would say you could come and display it, but you can't ride it. The thing is that when it hits the trail,
yeah.
They, you know, to keep them specific for UTVs and ATVs, and some of them aren't wide enough for a Jeep, so. And
but I could just come with you, and I'll go in your unit.
That's right. Yeah. You can ride. Yeah. You know, we got Barbie. Pleasant comes out.
Yep.
Her and David have a great time. We do Ronnie and RJ Anderson. They came out. They come out. We got the Sims. Everybody comes out. All these people from the West come out, and they just go crazy. It's fun. I let Maddie Wedeking have my car last time the whole time, and she didn't break it.
That's awesome.
I know.
Yeah. Well, I'm from Detroit. In Michigan.
I'm just saying. So you
really
so
that.
You thought.
So you thought.
So you thought.
Well, Bill Schuller borrowed it from Jagged X after that.
I think so Bill's probably the one that got it.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about High Lifter, too, because I know, you know, really in the last couple of years, you guys have expanded the business a lot. I mean, it used to be, you know, very regional-based company, you know what I mean? And I feel like now nationally I see High Lifter stuff builds. You've got products that extend past just the mud market, things like that now. I mean, the company's really, really expanded the last couple of years.
It has. Interestingly enough is we spent our first 20 years focused on mud. That's what we do, and we do well. And we've been riding, Rachel and I have been coming out here and riding for I don't know, 8 or 10 years. And, you know, really what we learned is the same kind of parts that work really good in the mud work really good in the rocks and desert. You know, it's all about clearance, durability, those kind of things. And so it turns out the stuff we make really works out here, but everybody thought it's High Lifter is mud only. So we've been out here educating people saying, hey, you know, this is what we have for the rocks and trails and desert and all that. And then beyond that, we said, you know what, we make suspension already. Let's make long travel kits. And so we've been building a line of long travel kits that are just really amazing. We've enlisted the help of Jagged X and Blake Vanderloo, both of which win a lot of races. And
the Anderson brothers.
The Anderson brothers have helped tune stuff in. So we've got a lot of really years of expertise out here to get these kits dialed in. And I'm telling you, the average guy that wants a long travel kit to pound through the desert, we got the one for him.
But I know even, you know, on the event side, obviously, High Lifter, the Mud Gnats have become one of the biggest UTV events of the year. But you guys have expanded, what, ERX, you had one this year, too, right, up north?
Yeah, we had one at ERX in Minnesota. Next year, we'll have a fall and a spring and a fall one. We also are going to kind of do some stuff with shock therapy and do an event out here, a pop-up in the West Coast, kind of bring some southern flair into the West. I think it'd be a fun time, so... We've probably got 6 events next year.
Awesome. You guys keep cranking.
It's going to be a busy year.
It's going to be a busy year.
Wouldn't have any other way, though, would you?
No, we keep thinking we're going to slow down, but I think if you just slow down, you just get old and die.
Yeah. And we're both old already, so we're just like, keep it moving.
And I'm personally against dying. Yeah, that's bad.
I always
bad.
Say you're only old if you act old.
That's right.
Well,
that's right.
Hey.
Oh, I'm 18 then.
Yeah, I'm 14, so.
Oh, I bet you guys have a lot of fun, though.
We do. We have fun everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, we turn new people into friends and turn them into family.
That's right. Like, I met her last night. I'm like, I can't wait to see her at Mud Gnats now. I'm like, oh, she's Pleasant's friend. Yay, we're going to have so much fun.
I actually, there's an off-road park that's in Michigan that I'm going to go. So they have Detroit 4 Fest, and Minnesota 4 Fest is going to be at ERX. And so I know the gentleman, Tom, and I'm like thinking to myself, I was like, so how do I get these two to come to Michigan to teach me about mud holes? Because we have Holly Off-Road Park, and they have tons of, like, stuff. It's just like ERX minus the racetrack, of course.
Right.
So there's tons of stuff. There's wheeling, you know, they're actually carving a T-Stone approved trail there that I'm gonna like unveil next week, and so I'm excited about this. But in my head I'm like, so how can we have you guys come to Michigan and connect all these dots so I can figure all this out?
I think she's already saying I'm in.
I'm over here like, let me slide my number to you before we
Ooh, I'm getting some digits here. I didn't know I could do that.
Is that anywhere near the sand dunes up there?
No, but we do have Silver Lake, so we have Big Test Hill, which is out there. I enjoy that. But if you guys ever need a tour guide for Test Hill, sadly in Michigan, obviously, snow's coming, so we're going to – they shut it down.
Right.
But they open it back up. But anytime you guys want to go there, it's not that far. It's beautiful because it's on Lake Michigan, so you get to see the beautiful sunset. Lake Michigan, Test Hill. They have drag races there, and you can go swimming.
That sounds fun.
It does. And they do have, you know, the water, obviously, from the lakes come in, and you can get a little muddy and dirty out there.
That sounds fun to me.
Hey, we're all about that.
Yeah.
Mud, dirt.
Yeah.
Mud, dirt.
Mud, dirt.
Mud, dirt. Mud, dirt.
But for, I tell you, though, for everybody listening, we do love the mud. I mean, that is, that's our home. We ride weekly in the mud around the house. We have... we're fortunate enough to have a lot of acreage around us that we have, that's friends and stuff we get to ride on. But at the same time, we're out here just reminding people that, man, we got a lot of cool stuff that's for the desert riders and rock guys.
Well, I know I pop on the site here and there, you know what I mean, just to see the new products you guys got coming out. It seems like every time I go, I'm surprised, like, oh, wow, it came out with this, came out with that. You know, it's you guys always continually, you know what I mean, coming out with new product for different markets, things like that. And it's actually kind of fun to go on the site, you know, every couple months and just see what's new.
Yeah.
It is fun. Yeah. It's fun being part of R&D at High Lifter right now. We have more products in the wings right now than ever.
So my whole job in R&D is testing. So all they build these parts, they put them on my bike. So they put them on my car, and they say, okay, test it. And I'll bring them back, and I'm like, how the hell did you – sorry, I'm the cusser of us. And he's like, how the hell did you break this? And I'm like, I don't know. Tell me to do. So they go back, and they build it again. They're like, well, give it to Rachel to drive, so we know if she drives it, you know.
Give it to Rachel. She can break anything.
And yeah.
Like, but then they're like, okay, it made it through the Rachel proof. So it's because they pick all the lines, and I'll just, like, bury
it. You just
it.
Send it?
Yeah, I just send it. And I'm like, Scott's like. Don't do it.
So you're the one where they always go, you're not allowed to drive without a video camera on the car.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You've got to see what's going to happen.
But, yeah. You know, he was talking about the West Coast. We have a lot of friends. We've got a lot of race teams we sponsor. I know Pleasant's trying to make it out here on the West Coast. We love Pleasant. We sponsor her. We've got the Anderson Brothers, SMG, Scanlon Motorsports, Sims Motorsports, Brandon Sims, Jagged X. We do a little bit with Alexi Leeming.
XTC.
XTC, yep. So we've got a good group out here. Owen Maddie, Wedeking, she's one of our sponsors. We sponsor her. So
that's
we've
awesome.
Got a nice group of really good, you know, West Coast influencers that really we've known for years and bonded with, except for Maddie. And I just met her last year at Sand Hollow, and I'm like, I'm going to be your new mom from the South because she was just so great. So now
that's
we're
awesome.
Just close with
she's
her.
She's a good kid, and she's a hell of a driver, too.
Yeah, she is. She's great.
Isn't that cool, though, that, you know, we talked about this earlier in the show, but the UTV industry, it's like one big family, and I can go anywhere in the country, you know, and I've got Razor family all over the place, you know, and people that, you know, saw something, and I meet people at shows, and it's like I've got an open invite all over the country with all these amazing people and rides, and I don't know, it's an industry unlike anything I've ever seen before where it's so welcoming, and everybody's just one big family, and anytime you show up and, you know somebody there, they want to take you somewhere, it's like I just, like you guys talking, you can go anywhere in the country, and you've got family there.
Absolutely.
That's right. We have all the people we meet become family, our off-road family. So it's pretty awesome. Just like Pete, but Pro Armor.
Yeah.
Hey, if anybody has anything bad to say about Pete, can't talk, you know. And that's another reason we're here. We love Pro Armor. We run their products. I'm a big fan, obviously.
Yeah. I do like Pro Armor. They stepped up with their apparel game, too. This shirt right here is on it.
Yeah, I know, right? And their hats. I mean, like, I'm always killing the
quick story about Pete. So we met Pete, I don't know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 13, I don't know, a long time ago. And we'd always see him at trade shows or, you know, the Polaris Dealer Show or whatever. And for the first 4 to 5 years, we never called him anything but Pro Armor Dude.
Pro Armor Dude.
It was like, hey, Pro Armor Dude. And finally he's like, you know my name's Pete. Yeah, Pro Armor Dude.
Now he's one of our best friends.
Yeah.
Just like that. Now he's some of our family from the West.
Yeah.
So. And that's I met Pete through my partner, Brittany, and she she introduced us like 10 years ago, and Pete's become one of my dearest friends. And like you said, I can't tell you one person that will ever say anything bad about Pete. I mean,
and if they do, they need an ass whooping.
Oh, absolutely. You know, he's
or they're off. Something's wrong with
yeah.
them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I mean, I can't even say he's ever run out of beer. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I can't even throw him under the bus over that. I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. He's always got your back, man. Always. Literally.
What do we do? Hey, what do you need? That's always his thing. What do you need? I'm like, nothing, dude. Yeah, like, let me bring you something.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you guys. I know I've been trying to get out to Mud Nats for the last couple of years. I just need to put it on the calendar next year and come out.
You need to get there. I think everybody from the West Coast that attends ends up They
fall in love.
They fall in love, and they just can't wait to come back. So, all right. Well, thank you, guys.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Uh-huh.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, out here at Sand Sports Show with our good friends at Pro Armor. Man, we've had a hell of a show yet today. Still got a couple of guests. Got Pleasant Cook stopping by the booth here with Tiffany Stone, Brittany Cardone, and myself. That actually rolls too damn good right there, so...
It's pretty scary, to be honest.
This trio might actually have to stick.
It is. We're getting married.
Just because it rhymes?
I know. I proposed to her yesterday with a ring pop. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
But I want a ring pop.
She called it off last night.
Only because we won't tell anybody. Come for the next episode to hear what happened.
She broke my heart already.
Tiff gets around.
Oh,
this is like Maury all of a sudden.
You are not my wife.
Yet. That's tonight.
Good Lord.
Well, the wedding's tonight, so it didn't really happen yet.
We are doing a radio show here at Pro Armor, by the way. Apologies. But, yes, Pleasant, welcome to the booth. It's always pleasant to have you around.
Thank you. First time at Sand Sports Super Show. Excited to be here.
You sold out of, not sell, you weren't selling them, but you gave away all your autograph cards today. That's a good thing.
I did. That's a good, great thing. I'm definitely bringing more next time and learn my lesson, I guess.
I go to sign autographs and I actually come home with more than I started with.
See, that's normally me. That's why I was like, I'll bring two stacks.
Nobody wants my autograph. They're like, why is he sitting here? Best autograph signing I ever had was when I did it with Brian Deegan, and then I did another one, Jeremy McGrath. And that was like when I first started out, and they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to put Jimmy with like these guys, would be good for him. Like, it's great. I went through all kinds of posters, right? And then I go and do one on my own, and it's like no posters. And I'm like, yeah, people weren't there for me.
See, the worst part is whenever that little kid comes up to you and you're like, they're signing the posters, dragging them down, the little kid goes, no, I don't want one from you. I don't want one from you. I've had that happen.
The brutal truth of young kids, like it's
scary.
The bank's the only one that wants my signature, so.
It's better than the IRS.
True debt.
Could be worse, Brittany.
That's a good point.
First Sand Sports Show, Pleasant. I know. I don't know. How's it been treating you? Good though, right?
Oh, it's been awesome. Yeah, no, I can't believe how massive this event is, and just how many people is here. Like, this is great. I love it. Got great weather. Hanging out with good friends.
That is true. Now Pleasant and I are going to get married tonight, though.
Again, she breaks my heart. I'm right here.
I thought it was a flower girl for y'all's wedding. Okay. Oh, what tables have turned?
I'm Sancho. Yeah, I don't even know how this segment's going to make it to air, but I'll figure it out. But we've gone down a path. And those of you tuning in at home can see we've probably had a few drinks as we were, we'll say fistful of bourbon, as we've been doing the show. So you start off 2 hours ago and you get to where you're at today and or tonight or now or whatever.
Wherever and, we are.
Yeah,
he's tried for 10 years to get me on the show.
I know.
And now that I'm finally on the show, I think he's regretting it.
Not at all. It's been fun. You've added a lot. So I just laugh because we've done so many interviews with Pleasant. Yeah. Like, it's just... Like,
it's
like I don't even.
Hey, I'm here. Yeah.
No, but it's actually kind of cool because we've known each other for a long time, and I've actually seen kind of the progression of your career. Now it's like you're at Sand Sports, and it actually makes a ton of sense because you're so deep into the UTV space now. I mean, people still know you from the big trucks and things like that, but it's like I feel like you've transitioned into like kind of a UTV racer and influencer, things like that. Like, you're continually reinventing yourself, but you're not completely reinventing yourself, and I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, no, it's definitely interesting trying to jump from, like, industry to industry and then just there's so many, like, people. Just, like, the industries are so massive and there's so many people that you remember and know now. And it's like, Jesus, like, you can't even walk 10 feet without, like, having a full conversation with somebody.
No, it's Brittany and I, we were talking about that. Literally, we can, like, we need to carve out 30 minutes to walk from one end to the other because you're going to get stopped by 15 people.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to have, you know, 5-minute conversations with all of them. And they're cutting those short to go to the next conversation that's 10 feet away. Yeah. I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just like, it's the way it is.
Well, it's a great problem to have. Like, this is my family. I laugh because I go home. I'm like, I don't have any friends. And then I realize, no, there's just none there because I'm never home.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah, we have an entire traveling family. But it's the same thing. Oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick. Cool. See you in 2 hours.
That was literally me like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, exactly.
I did the same. I'm like, do I have time to go to the bathroom real quick? But I feel like it's always good. You know, like you were saying, Jim, Pleasant's been around for a while and doing all this cool stuff. We know her from more so short course and being a Vision Wheel teammate and all of those things. So it's really cool to see you in short course and see that progress. But I am very proud of you because you did mention how you're moving back into kind of like a monster truck type of thing, right? So kind of like, what is that going to be all about?
Yeah, so I got pretty much hired to drive the USA 1 monster truck this year. And I guess for people that don't know, that was like one of the original monster trucks with Bigfoot. They started like the whole monster truck industry together, and
that's OG. I mean, that's OG.
It really is. It was like the second monster truck ever made, pretty much. And
so the truck's older than her, then.
Oh yeah, by like a lot.
Like a lot.
A lot. They're gonna be like, I'm like, yeah, no, I was there for sure. But no, so I get to drive that next year, and I think towards the end of this year, and got to kind of practice driving the full size a little bit, and I'm just really excited. It's like going back to my roots. I get to see all my old friends, and yeah. It's gonna be interesting. I get to jump some cars again, guys.
Biggest difference in driving a mini monster truck to the full size thing?
Oh man, I guess like
you approach it the same way.
I mean, like, you really do. You hit the same amount of like the same size jumps I'm hitting with my mini that I hit in the full size. It's definitely you have a lot. You can see a lot more, and it's not as claustrophobic, I guess to say, like from the mini to the full size. You can get a lot bigger air. And it lands a lot softer, which is always good for my back. So,
God, my back would hate me if I decided to have a monster truck.
My chiropractor hates me, so that's okay.
I'm trying to understand the concept of a mini monster truck, right?
Like, how does that work?
It's like a jumbo shrimp. It just doesn't make sense.
It's either one or the other. But so it's a third-scale monster truck. It's on like 38-inch tires, full custom chassis, stuff like that. It's pretty much the same height as me. Yeah, that makes sense.
I have a photo of Pleasant and I at a short course race.
The equivalent of like a Pro Light to a Pro 2 or something, you know, just a miniature version. So
pretty much. It's more like a mod cart to a Pro 4, but, you know.
How many of us at this table have chiropractors on speed dial? I know two of us do.
I don't.
You don't?
No, I go too slow. Like, my besides bombing in the desert at, like, KOH, I mean, that's going, like, 40, 50 but during a whoop section. But
that was fun to watch, though.
It was fun to watch that. But, I mean, I literally drive 3 miles per hour up a rock. Like, I don't need that. But I would take one, so I'll take whatever one you guys
got. You have a masseuse on speed dial?
Yes, I do.
Is it like one of the Oriental happy ending places?
No! Is that an Asian joke because I'm half over here?
It kind of was. No. Like, that was below the belt. I love you, Tiff.
I know you do. No, actually, I have a company. It's or not my company, but I use a company called Zeel. Z-E-E-L. And it's kind of like an Uber for massage therapists. So, you know, you pay a monthly... Sounds so horrible now saying this. You pay a monthly fee for this, and a lady comes to your house and massages
you. It makes you feel better.
Yeah. And massages you.
Okay.
But, yeah, so
you're not helping your case.
No. I'm not.
But is it in a strip mall?
No, it's actually, they come to my house, which is the best thing ever. You get a full hour-long massage.
So
they come to your house.
Are they out call or are you in call?
I use my app to get them. First of all, Jim.
Well, what were we saying? Do you pay them to show up or to go away?
I got that now, guys. Anyways, I pay them to show up, give me a massage, and go away. But either way.
Are you happy when they leave?
Yes. Yes.
So it's a happy ending.
So you can say you get a happy ending.
I'm a happy customer when they leave. It is. Okay, whatever. Either way. Yes, I have a masseuse on call. I don't know why these conversations get this way, Jim.
I don't know, because we, you and I have done radio so much, And Brittany knows me better than anybody. And Pleasant, I feel like, is family at this point because we've interviewed her so many times. So it's like they just we go down rabbit holes.
We do. Like even yesterday, she doesn't know this story, but when we were coming back from the bar, I guess a guy was walking or running or walking across the street. It's like 45, 50 miles per hour, and, you know, they're...
Wait, he was walking 50 miles per hour?
Yes.
He was in the Olympics,
hold on.
Right?
So he was speed walking, and then out of nowhere, I chime in and says, who's that person in that non-car? Like, I couldn't figure out to say that they were just walking, and I was... There we go, so... And I sat on wet.
Okay? Yeah, you do take the scenic route with words.
I do take the scenic route.
So we're in Crandon, and she goes to sit in the Ranger, right? I think is what we were getting in or whatever.
Or the golf cart.
Yeah, something. Golf, something. When we go to sit down, and she sits down, she looks, she goes, I sat on wet. So we actually have a group text now from Crandon that's literally called Sat on Wet.
Yeah, I don't know. But either way, so.
Pleasant. You share Instagram memes and just randomness in it. Yeah.
Well, I won't be added.
We'll add you.
Did you sit on wet?
Yeah, remember at the when we're doing pictures?
Oh,
the bench. Nobody wanted to sit down.
Yes. No, she is invited. She did sit on what?
Yeah. And the best thing is, like, Pleasant and I are trying to get sweet, sweet Mia Chapman, who is, like, the kindest person in the world. Then you have Pleasant and I, like, are just, like, rambunctious. And we're, like, trying to get Mia to do these, like, awesome photos. She did great. But we're, like, do this, Mia. And she's, like, why? We're, like, do this. And then Pleasant and I are, like, so, you know, if somebody throws a camera in your face, do you have, like, a go-to move that you do? And Pleasant does this, and then I do this, or something like that. You guys can't actually see it. So Pleasant points, I do the peace signs, and Mia's like, what do I do? We're like, what do you do? But we love Mia. She's awesome.
Well, it was hilarious because I was on the camera end,
that
right, taking
true.
The pictures, which I instigate. And that was the fun. That's why I told Jim. I was like, no, I'm out. I'm taking the girls on this one. We're going to go get some real pictures. Like, I laugh because when I first got there, you guys are like, okay, well, what do you want us to do? I said, uh-huh, exactly.
That
like, that's the thing. For once, like, I didn't want it staged. I really want it to be authentic.
Yeah.
And it's always fun to push Mia to come out of her shell a little bit, you know?
That is.
Hang
we
out with
you,
the girls.
Mia. Oh, yeah. Well, and Pleasant, you know, I'm excited. Jim's probably super excited, too. You're going to go do some desert racing. So you're going to do, you know, UTV World Championships. You're going to do the Mint. What made you kind of want to go out that way?
I don't know. I think it's always been something I've been, like, super interested in. I got to go and do the wide open excursion with Vision Wheel, like, I don't know how many years ago. And I fell in love with it. I thought that was the most fun thing to do. And that's always been, like, my end goal is to race desert. So just kind of it was, like, a goal for me. And I'm glad that I'm finally being able to mark it off my checklist this year.
I'm excited to see her. Because I do, you know, pit reporting for UTV World Championship, so I'm excited to come out there. It's going to be such a different scene to be able to do that. And, you know, Jim, I always come and talk to you about stuff, and it's just, it's cool to see, like you said, see her grow and progress into this awesome off-road desert racer.
Well, like I've always said, the thing I appreciate about you is you're not scared to put yourself out there and try something new. There's a lot of people who won't go and try something new because they're scared they're going to fail. Where you're not scared to try and fail, you just want to get better, you know. So you're willing to put in the work, and most people aren't. There's so many people that are just stuck in their niche because they're good at it, and they're like, I don't want to go and do this where I might actually show that I'm not perfect. And you're just like, nah, hell with it. I'm going to go have fun.
Yeah, that's why I look at it, too, is we want to, like, focus around the fun of that event. Like, I mean, you're basically trail riding all day, like, in a race. Like, I think that sounds like a blast. We were laughing yesterday, and we're like, yeah. We're going to put some, like, Rockford speakers in our car. We're going to be sitting there bumping, like, just jamming out, going through the pits. And I'm like, who in the world is that? Oh, it's Pleasant. That's fine. Like, just let her go.
But, what kind of music will you be bumping? We're going to put you on the spot.
You know, it's a good between, like, country and just, like, super rap. I don't know yet.
Country and super rap. Who would be a person?
Kid Rock.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. I changed my answer.
Kid Rock?
Kid Rock.
Ball with the ball?
Bow
to Bob.
Our friend Tim Montana just calls him Bob.
Bob.
That's what I was like. I didn't know if that was Bob, but that's our best thing. Is
well, his real name's
somewhere.
Bob, so yeah.
Is it real? Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Well, he's from Michigan. He wanted to, like, run for governor, too, and I bet you any money he would win. Yeah.
Tim says what he calls it, Bob with to Bob.
I just laugh because we're like, oh, look, there's a Bob wannabe here. There's the this or that, and people just stare at him.
It's just like Bob.
Who's Bob?
Bob.
SpongeBob? What are you talking about?
But yeah, Tim will be like, yeah, I got to call Bob. Or Bob just texts me or whatever.
Just Bob.
Bob.
Oh, Bob.
Yeah.
What a role model he is.
So where are you going next after this?
I got to think about that. Actually, I'm going to Pomona Off-Road Expo with Gladiator Tires, and then turning around and going to Trail Hero, Rockford Fosgate, and then UTV World Champs. That's pretty much my next month.
Going to SEMA at all?
No, have no plans. Might walk around there, kind of hang out, not really tied down to any booth or anything, and not bring in a vehicle. Just hanging out.
You can come hang out with us.
Yeah. I would love to. I'm actually really excited to go without a vehicle. Just hang out, not be tied down to anywhere, just get to walk around, not be stressed out the whole week, or actually month beforehand. But
6 months, yeah.
Yeah. Well, us, it's always like at the last month, everything goes wrong.
Well, the next couple of months is just nuts for us. Like, Brett and I are pretty much on the road every single week, almost. Like, there's a few in between, but.
I think New Year's maybe, which I know we already have tentative stuff planned, but I'm just work-wise, yeah, everything just being delayed because of the first quarter, they pushed it, which is great. But it's like, it's almost a race to race. And to do everything else right now. It's crazy just doing this whole back and forth. And it's been an amazing experience and a crazy adventure this year. But I think we've traveled more in this year, we were talking, than most have in their entire lifetime.
Yeah, it definitely makes it fun, like going from event to event. It's like, okay.
And I think all four of us like can say that. Like I've seen areas of the country. I've been to places. Like, and her and I go places. Like most people go on vacation and we go just as a whatever, you know what I mean? And I'm like, it's actually really insane when you look at it, the you know, the sheer amount of places and things I've seen in this country, you know? And most people that, you know, outside of our industry or what we do don't get to experience that. But you're the same way, Tiff. I mean, you know, you're all over. Pleasant is, Brittany and I are. It's like, you know, I've seen, I don't know, we've got a running tally, one of those things, and we've been to almost all 50 states at this point, what, 40 or something? Like, we're close.
We just skip over at this point. If we're close to a state, we find an excuse
to go
to cross the border just so we can check it off.
Yeah. No, and I did that, and obviously, you know, you're great friends with everybody at Dirtfish, and I do all the rally stuff for Dirtfish, and I was able to go to Snoqualmie this year, which I've never been to, Jim. I saw your fire suit hanging up over there, but, like, Snoqualmie is beautiful, and for those who don't know, like, Twin Peaks was filmed there, and all that stuff, which I had no idea, but like Snoqualmie is the most beautiful place. Like the waterfalls were amazing. I love how Pleasant, we side note guys, we just took a photo and Pleasant has to stand up so we can see her because she's that tiny and super cute. She's like, let me stand up and so we can see it. But like, no, Jim, you're absolutely right. It's just we're very lucky. But the other side, and we've talked about this before and got very deep about it, the other side is people don't realize like we miss a lot of things, though. A lot of normal
sacrifices.
Yeah,
we make sacrifices.
Like we miss birthdays, and you know, like Halloween is my most favorite, and I will be gone the entire month of October, so I don't get to put up decorations. I know, as lame as that sounds, but like the sacrifices that we make, we miss birthdays, anniversaries, special events, concerts, and all that stuff. But we are very lucky to be able to go and experience things that a lot of people wouldn't be able to experience. So.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how many times I've, like, traveled on my birthday and stuff, and it's just another day.
Wait, yeah. So what's your holiday?
Actually, mine is Halloween.
See?
So that's all of us. So it's unanimous. Yeah.
Can we hang out at SEMA and, like, dress up?
Yeah. Well, we talked about doing 80s prom night at Crandon.
Oh, that is next year for Labor Day.
We'll figure something out, because I think all of us will be in and around Vegas at that point, so we'll have to.
But, yeah, if everybody's all in on Halloween, like, the jam.
We could go at the Golden Girls.
Sorry, Jim.
Wait, Pleasant's like, wait a minute, who are the girls?
I have absolutely not a clue.
You're doing
it again.
You're doing it again.
I just aged myself.
You guys are all going to be fighting over who gets to be Betty White.
She's so fun.
Oh, I know she is.
I know she is.
Betty White's a badass. If you don't know who Betty White is, like.
Her and Cloris Leachman, though, as they've gotten older, like, they just keep going more and more into their roles. It cracks me up.
Well, who's. So the lady that played the oldest Golden Girl, Grandma, like the. She was actually the youngest one.
Yes.
She was like in her 40s when they filmed that or something. It was like absurd how young they were. And like, or now like you see her and she's like, she's still young. And everybody's like, how is this? And they literally did so much makeup and stuff to get her to look old.
The Sicilian.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah. Golden Girls. God.
I have no idea what these conversations are.
It's okay. We could go as three blind mice.
I'm getting seat-jacked.
Uh-oh. Ejecto-cito, cuz.
Is this right here?
It's okay. I'll just awkwardly stand here.
Do you know where that one comes from, Pleasant? Ejectocito comes?
Yeah, okay. Fast and Furious, isn't
okay.
it?
Okay, whew.
I didn't know that one.
Seriously?
We got to get a picture of that, though. Do that.
Yes, let's just call me out completely. It's so, full on Ricky Bobby. I don't know what to do with my hands right now.
So for those listening at home, Brittany was in a Pro Armor seat, and they set him up here, so we had something. Well, they've got somebody that wanted to sit in it, so literally pulled the seat out from underneath Brittany and took it over there, and they're trying to sell it.
They're selling stuff from out from under me right now.
Literally. So, oh, look at that.
No, you're short. That's your... No. Now I feel like I'm going to be in a dunce seat right now.
We're all about to get schooled, but...
Oh, it's cold.
Oh, sorry.
I sat could be on worse.
I tried.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. I do have another legitimate racing question for you, Pleasant, just because I've never experienced it. I know a lot of people who have in short course land and all of that. Crandon, land rush start into turn one. Please explain how that is, especially for somebody who is in a side-by-side.
Don't die.
Okay.
Don't
die. Yeah, literally. Have you ever seen the movie Cars?
Yes.
Okay, you know whenever he's, like, going in the tractors?
Yes.
And he's, like, trying to, like, that's really honestly what it looks like. Like, how he's, like, sitting there and, like, looking at the tractors and it opens up and you're trying to get that space.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how it looks like in a turn one. But what's scary is, well, actually it happened to me at my last Crandon. You don't know if the other cars are going to hold their line or not. And
gotcha.
I actually went to go around a bunch of people and got smacked on the inside, actually, from a guy trying to go to the outside. Got hit so hard, it, like, completely screwed up my line, and I was in the back.
Gotcha.
So it's, like, it's literally don't die. Yeah. It's watch out for everybody else. Like, kind of be smart about it, too, because you know someone's going to wreck. So you always have one foot on the, like, next to the brake, like, just ready to go, just in case. Like, you don't know what's
going
to happen.
So do you, obviously, you have a game plan going in. Like you said, one, don't die. Two, try to hold your line or try to pass or whatnot. But, like, what do you do when those things kind of, like, happen? You know what I'm trying to say? Like,
yeah.
So, like, you go in, and Mike Tyson says it. Everybody's got a game plan until you get punched in the face.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happens for land rush starts.
Yeah.
You get punched in the face. By the way,
that's just my life.
I felt that.
Even the pro
was that the
two
Chumbawamba
race.
Song? I get knocked down.
Oh,
and I
yes.
get up again.
I might be singing that now. I might go into turn one.
Sorry, Div. We keep spoiling out on you.
No, I got that song stuck in my head. But for real, like, how does somebody in your position keep calm?
Really, you just got to remember, like, for me, I just have to keep telling myself, like, I'm not going to get hurt. You're not going to get hurt in that car. Like, there's no way. It's so well built and so well put together that it just doesn't happen. You pretty much just have to be, like, smart about what to do. Like, I know, not even, like, in turn one, just in corners in general, like, people hit you and you'll go sideways on two tires. And you just have to be able to react in that fast and know what to do to kind of fix yourself out of it. But for turn one, it's definitely, like, depending on where you are, like, staged at, if you're on the inside or the outside, if you're on the first line, the second line, the third line, whichever row, kind of all creates that game plan of, okay, well, I need to follow this person. I always just try to plan on following the person in front of me. Whoever's in front of me, that's who I'm following. That's where we're going to go together kind of deal. And like I said, it does suck because you will get punched sometimes. Like, it happens. And then trying to remake a new game plan out of that, it's definitely quick thinking. Definitely makes it harder, but it's fun.
I was telling Jim, I said, I don't know how they do it. I do not have that aggressive side to me. I'm used to playing the long-term game, and so when they're out there and they're doing that stuff, I'm like, yeah, I'd be turning my turn signal on and going to the outside. Like, I am not cut out for this.
outside, we're doing it. But, no, I mean, I'm literally just racing in Crandon in general. You have to be aggressive. Like, if a spot opens up, just take it. Just try and drive into it as far as you can. It's hard sometimes because they'll cut you off real quick and they'll just, like, go into your line. And it's definitely – it gets hard. So me and David's conversations in the headset is quite hilarious of him telling me, like, punt that guy. Like, just hit him. Like, if he hit you, hit him back. Like, just go. Just make sure you go. Be aggressive and don't be scared. Don't be scared of your car.
And don't die.
Yeah, don't die. That is
the best.
That's the first one. Don't die.
That's the first thought. That
How is it having him as a spotter?
It's actually a lot of fun. It is, because it kind of creates that like that personal aspect, I guess, to call it, to where, I mean, I'll be out there on the track and be like, oh, my gosh, I love this track. This track is a lot of fun. Like, wow, did you see that? Like, we'll talk back and forth. And, of course, he's always pushing me to go harder and, like, telling me, like, oh, go in that faster, like, yelling, like, what to kind of do. And it helps me. And, I mean, he's always looking out for me in my best interest as well. So that, like, level of trust, I guess, to call it, too, is, like, always there.
I think that's the same way, like, with Brittany co-driving with me. There's that trust level built in, you know what I mean? And, she's my voice of reason, and, you know what I mean?
I call her my
center, you know what I mean? So it's like having her in the car and calling notes, like, I don't ever second guess anything she says, or, you know what I mean? And it's like there's a calm to the storm.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the day, you're building these experiences, and when you're in the car by yourself, now it's like, you're experiencing them together. With him, you're experiencing it. Like, it's a different dynamic. I was curious because there is a different dynamic there.
It really is, yeah. And, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of fun because he has that personal aspect, too. If I get hit really hard, like, he gets angry. Like, that guy hit you that hard. I'm mad. He's mad. And he's like, just, this is what you need to do. Like, tell me how to, like, go around him. Like, tells me when to, like, all right, these guys are trying to drive a little slower and not hit it. Like, it kind of pushes me to the aspect of driving more aggressive as well because, I mean, if something happens and he's angry and I'm angry, and you kind of, like, kind of talks me through it, I guess to call it. I don't know, but it makes it more fun. It does.
So is he,
it's like, less anxiety?
Is he animated or is he calm? Because that's the thing, is like, depending on, you can have the best, whether it's spotter, co-driver, whatever, from one car, and then the next car, it, you know, somebody thinks the worst or this or that just because of everybody's dynamic. And so it's interesting, like, I've listened to a handful of spotters, and some are like very, very enthusiastic and dynamic and, you know, go, 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 or this or that. Yeah. And then others, it's just like you're listening to this guided meditation when they're talking.
No, he's very lively when he talks. He's yelling. He's like, dig, 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 dig. Like, oh, very lively. Yeah, he yells. But it's always funny, like, good things. Never, like, yelling at me, I guess. Yeah. More like just telling me, like, oh, it's like, oh, what? So, like, on the back jump at Crandon, the one that was, like, people are going so fast off of, like, you got way more air ever than, like, normal. Every single time he's like, don't lift, don't lift, don't lift, like yelling at me through my headset as I'm going off the jump still. Like, I'm in the air and he's like, don't lift. I'm like, okay, I didn't. Like, I promise. I didn't even touch the brake, I promised. Awesome. But, yeah, no, he's very lively, kind of, he gets excited. We both get excited.
No, which is good. Yeah, if that energy works, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, we got anything else for Pleasant? I'm going to let her off the hook here.
It's been pleasant. Pleasant.
I see what you did there.
I think that's how we should end it. Pleasant. It's been pleasant. Sleep pleasant.
It's been real. It's been pleasant. It's not been real pleasant.
That's a real pleasant.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, out here at Sand Sports with Pro Armor. I got my good friend Pete here, along with Tiffany Stone and Brittany Cardone. That just rolls too well. I just think that rolls damn nice.
You did say that last time.
I know, but I, like, every time I say it, it's just like Tiffany Stone, Brittany Cardone. Like,
he's going to find an excuse to say it now from now on.
Or it could just be the Tiffany Stone and Brittany Cardone show.
Ooh.
Oh.
Just kidding, Jim. I love you so much.
No. Literally, you guys want to take it and run with it? Do it. Like, I just freed up a lot of time.
No, definitely not. No, Jim, I am appreciative of everything that
you feel
done.
About audio editing, Britt?
With all that free time I have, exactly. Throw it on there, right?
Right after you do the taxes and everything else, right?
Right.
You don't know my life, Pete.
She's trying to keep me out of jail right now because I got traffic tickets in Nevada and in someplace.
Oh, yeah, you got one at.
Oh, I got one in Wisconsin, right? And one in Nevada right now that haven't been paid yet.
We're going for the high score, seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously, like, it's kind of out of control. Like, I don't know who installed the rock magnet on the race car and who installed the cop magnet on every car that we rent. But for some reason, Jim just really wants to talk to cops lately.
Wait, how many tickets?
It's just my endearing personality. Everybody loves it.
How many states do you have a ticket in?
Well,
so, is there a story behind the Wisconsin ticket?
Where do you want to start?
I know Vegas to Reno. They're just out there looking.
Vegas to Reno is all her fault. She wanted McDonald's.
No, you were sitting there trying. You were literally stopped in the middle of the road trying to make a decision. The best part is he actually got a failure to stop at a stoplight or a stop sign, even though he made an illegal U-turn on a double yellow.
So it was a lesser two evils? Maybe the guy was...
Well, the cop straight up didn't see that. I laughed because he did a California stop on the stop sign, missed the completely illegal thing, and only caught the other half of it.
We got a car towed with a parking ticket. We got a warning for exhibition of speed or something like
going
that.
Going 35 and, miles an hour.
35 miles an hour in Sturgis.
Are these all Crandon related?
No, that was Sturgis.
Oh.
I think we're the only
Cran
ones.
Cran and I just got a legit speeding ticket.
Yeah.
But they ran the ID of everybody in the car. They ran the ID of everybody in the car, which was crazy.
His dad, I was laughing. His dad, we're like, what if you have a bench warrant from like 30 years ago?
That happened to a buddy of mine. We were at the river and something happened. There was an altercation and breaking up a fight. Cops showed up and they said, you know, you've got a warrant from about 30 years ago in Phoenix. I haven't been in Phoenix since I was in the military.
He's like, since 30 years ago, yeah. I haven't been to Phoenix.
Turns out. Yeah.
Funny thing.
Really?
Been staying away.
So did they arrest you or anything?
No, it wasn't me.
Oh, I was going to say.
His buddy, in buddy, quotes, buddy. Right?
Friend.
Or they just go, yeah. Like,
no, they were actually pretty cool about it. They let him say, yeah, you should probably go get that taken care of. So.
That's cool. Get the wrong guy, and they'd be like, oh, we're taking you in.
Well, we were putting bets on who was going to, like, we're like, who has a warrant? Nobody, we were all joking. We're like, there's going to be something somewhere. Yeah. We're like, who's going to jail tonight? Nobody knows.
Well, more on Crandon. I haven't heard any of the good stories from Crandon from you guys. I was talking to Jake Percy the other day, and he sent me some pictures and whatnot, because I've never been to Crandon.
Oh, you're going next year.
And, yeah, I immediately was like,
we got the rental house. You're going. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a good time. Oh, it's 80s prom, by the way, so you got to dress up.
Yeah.
Every year or this next year?
We've decided this,
yes. Last night, Brittany and I decided it's 80s prom, so whatever you want to do, you're more than welcome to do that. And group therapy on Sunday is sleeveless Sunday, so don't wear sleeves or a shirt that you care about.
My fiance and I decided this.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I proposed.
Yeah.
Fiance, tickets, Crandon.
Prom.
I'm in. Prom. So I got to start shopping for the ruffle shirt and the cummerbund.
Yes.
So I've known Pete for way too long. Pete was probably the first or second person I ever met in the off-road UTV industry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm just
sorry.
You want to know where it derailed? No.
But about 10 years ago.
At one point, Pete had long hair. And my dad always used to call him Fozzie Bear because of his long, shaggy hair. So then one day we get in this conversation, right, because he's always rocking his is it DC's?
DVS's.
So he's always rocking his DVS's, and he had the long flippy surfer hair going on, and we're having this conversation one day, and he goes, you know, I used to manage a bank.
Yeah, so years ago, well, not years ago, but I don't know, when I first got out of school, for about 8-9 years, I was a manager of a bank in L.A.
Is this why you have a warrant? No, I'm just kidding.
No, but again,
this
guy.
I can't work in a bank anymore.
This guy, I'm like, when he goes, no, I used to, and I'm like, no, seriously, Pete.
Yeah, shirt and tie every day, suit a couple times a week. Yeah, it was a different life. So, yeah.
A little bit.
I've been in a bank robbery. Not the robber, but the robbie.
The robbie. Is it a robbery?
Was it an inside job, Pete?
No.
Allegedly.
My friend has a warrant. No. It was pretty crazy. We were sitting in the bank one day, and some guy comes in and, hey, give me all your money, yelling. And I'm like, holy crap, this is really happening. I've been in a bank robbery. And, like, the tellers and the girls behind the counter are trying to shuffle and get the money and all that stuff. I'm like, oh, my God. I just sat in my desk. It wasn't that bad. I mean, but I could
say
I was in a bank.
Did he get away with it?
Yeah.
He did.
So the bank I worked on, we were right next to a major freeway in L.A.
He's fanboying the bank robbers.
We went and met up with them later, had beers, like, hey, where's my cut?
They bought dinner. What can I say? No, we were right next to the freeway, so they jumped on the freeway and were gone.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. Bank life.
Bank life.
I've never heard hashtag bank life.
But what was funny is I was shocked that, like, obviously it doesn't happen every day, and I was shocked that it happened. And I was talking to my boss and the other executives because they all come down to check and everything. They had all been in a bank robbery like 4 or 5 times. Oh, yeah, this is your first one. Don't worry about it. This is a normal thing. I thought it went away with, like, Jesse James or something.
They're like, but did you die?
Yeah.
that when you start examining your life choices, banker, yeah, that's a dangerous one.
When off-road is safer than working in a bank.
So racing King of the Hammers or chasing through Mexico is safer than working in a bank.
Do you want to know something crazy? You just mentioned Jesse James. I actually went to the site of his first train robbery.
Really?
You could be able to go check out that site. Obviously, I drive cross-country back and forth with the Jeep and all that, and I love a website. It's called Atlas Obscura. You can go on there. You click, like, your location and find these, like, obscure, cool things that are, like, not tourist areas, but, you know, off the beaten path, these things that you can check out. And I literally saw Jesse James' first train robbery spot. I have a photo with it.
It's my dad, right? We've talked about this app he needed to create. It actually exists.
It does. Yeah. It's called Atlas Obscura.
For mailbox checks, or what's he call it?
Mailbox money.
Yeah.
So my dad has this thing when everybody, like, after he wasn't, you know, he sold HCR and all that, and then he goes, everybody, where are you at, Damon? Just now. He goes, oh, I'm checking the mail. That was his thing. It didn't matter where he was. He was checking the mail. So he'd send pictures of, like, these random mailboxes in these remote areas in different states.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Sends me checking the mail photos, and he'll be on a jet ski, or he'll be fishing.
I get random photos like a couple weeks ago. He's, like, up on some mountain in Moab, like, oh, check this out, Jimmy. Yeah. And I just, thanks for the invite, Damon.
I think I got the same one. It was, yeah. And then one he was out riding.
He sends it to you and I and doesn't send it to Brittany.
That's why I'm laughing. He's like, well, did you see? I'm like, yeah, because Jim sent it to me.
That's funny. Yeah, that's
like I said, my dad likes everybody else more than me.
I want to meet your dad. Maybe he'll be accepting.
I'm sure he'll love
marriage.
You. Don't you worry.
You Jeep. He'll take you to Moab. You go out in the rocks. Life will be good. Like, yeah.
Yeah, you enjoy adventure enough. Like, you totally get along with Damon.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I could go faster, though, up rocks. I mean, I technically could, but I'd probably break an axle or something, so I'm okay on that right now.
So we were at Hammers one time in the... Were you? You weren't
G-wagon?
With us. The G-Wagon. Now, this isn't a G-Wagon. You know,
not a legit G-Wagon.
Not a legit G-Wagon. It's a Lexus G something or whatever.
Oh, the GX?
Yes.
Got it, the 460?
Yeah, so we called it a G-Wagon.
That's awesome.
But we called it the G-Hammered Wagon because we were at King of the Hammers. And it
had nothing to do with everybody being hammered in the wagon.
Shh, no,
I've never seen Brittany
all.
Drunk ever at King of the Hammers, ever.
No,
wink,
no.
Wink.
That one's an angel over there.
Yeah. Why are you guys all staring at me right now?
Like any of us are innocent.
I know. I'm not going to throw stones.
Yeah, exactly.
Or we stones.
Yeah, we can't throw Brett under the bus without the other three of us getting run over, too.
My favorite story still is, I told you, so Jim's first Hammers, I'm like, you have to get a box of Uncrustables for Pete. I'm like, there's a story behind it. Don't worry. You got to get it. So we were out there one time, and Pete was so hungry. I was like, oh, I got some Uncrustables, but I eat them frozen.
I do, too. They're amazing.
And he's like, no, I got to cook it. But he was so hungry, so he actually opened it and put it on the campfire rocks, like the big fire at Hammers. And he's sitting there watching it cook.
Oh, that's kind of good.
It was like kind of like a s'mores, but Uncrustable s'mores.
But you could just see the angst on his face. Like, he's just watching this thing. Like, I just...
Well, it was like one of those move-in days where you start at 6 in the morning, run all day long, finally get set up, go have a beer, and next thing you know, it's midnight and I haven't eaten anything.
But he's like,
there.
I need food. And I was like, I got some Uncrustables. He's stoked. I pulled out, and he's like so sad because it's frozen. And he just walks right over to the fire pit and just throws it on a rock.
It's very, very good. It's good for trail rides, too. Like, you take it, you throw it. I mean, I have a fridge-freezer combo, but, like, throw it in there. That's amazing. But we've also done that. The three of us have also left the backdoor challenge on a Thursday night and decided we wanted pizza, and we're sitting there. And do you remember we were making pizza
I
together?
Have video. It's not my fault that they decided to close the place down. That first off, they randomly had at backdoor.
Yeah,
they in had general,
the,
but
the pizza
was it the $5 pizza guy?
No. It's Dang Pizza.
Oh, Dang Bros.
Yeah,
that is
it's good pizza.
Awesome
it's
food.
Good. Okay. Pizza.
That stuff gets better after midnight.
It does.
No, you have it at like 5. You're like, it's all right. You have it at midnight. You're like, greatest pizza ever,
dude. We're so spoiled. Good. We had the best food. I feel like last year.
Yeah,
yes.
They really stepped up the game on the food.
So Britt and I, we like the same pizza, so we'd buy two, and literally we'd eat one, and then we'd take one back to the motorhome and leave it there. So then at like 2 in the morning, we got back to the motorhome. We had a brand new pizza.
True.
Smart.
So
again, no alcohol involved.
Nothing.
We just like a lot of pizza.
I think I ate the taco truck every day, though.
That was so good. The yellow peppers?
Yeah, Cabo Taco.
Oh, La Bufadora. Yep.
Yeah. The yellow pepper.
Question, though. Yes. And you guys will all... some people who know me know that I like jalapeno and pineapple.
Wait, can you say that again?
Jalapeno. Come on.
Jalapeno. And pineapple, and I call it the Angry Honolulu, okay? I've dubbed a jalapeno pineapple the Angry Honolulu. Question for you, Pete. Does pineapple belong on pizza? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, you are my friend. High five. You get pizza anytime now.
I really want to try that. That sounds
amazing.
Ours? Pepperoni, jalapeno, pineapple, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's our go-to.
Sweet and spicy.
Oh, so Angry Honolulu is a T-Stone special. If you ever get it, please let me know.
I'm going to try. Well, I haven't eaten anything all day today. I'm going to go eat after we do this, so try and find a pizza right now.
We're sitting here just teasing him at this point.
Yeah, pizza. You got a beer finally, though.
I know, finally. Stopped and had a beer. Got things settled down a little bit in the booth. So,
how has this show been? I mean, obviously we're sitting here talking BS because we're all good friends, but show's been pretty good for Pro Armor. I mean, you guys are a staple here, though. You've been here forever. I mean, Pro Armor has. I mean, this is...
Yeah.
For the UTV industry, this is a big show.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Sand Sport Super Show, but you know as well as I know, it's side pretty much side. Turned into a side-by-side.
Yeah, it's a side-by-side
show. Side-by-side Super Show.
No, it's been good. Friday night was busy. Wasn't quite like the old days Friday night, but it was still busy. We sold a decent amount of product. I think everybody's just excited to like have face-to-face interaction. You know, it's been so long that you've been able to talk to people. I can sit at a table with you guys. So I think that's the big thing for everybody. Everybody's been happy. I don't know. It's been fun. Trying to remember how to interact with people face-to-face and not via text or email.
I like it. It's my first show.
First stand show?
Ever. So as a newbie, what do I need to – I mean, they took me to – what? Why can I not remember this name that we went?
Goat Hill Tavern?
Yeah. I'm like, can we go to the goat place?
Pete, you don't know anything about the goat, do you?
Nope, never been there.
So I went to the goat yesterday, and I don't know. This is maybe why Brittany and I are not going to get married, because there was a couple that were arguing, and I kind of butted in and wanted to know why they were arguing at the bar. She looked like she was crying.
Did it help or worse? Than
she was cheating. She was leaving him.
Yeah, she was cheating on him, and she was like, she wanted him to be good with it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The guy was just like, you could tell.
No,
she was
straight
like,
up. You could tell she was watching, and we're like, don't do it. Don't do it. And she's like, but I need to know. Don't do
Literally
it.
Literally 2 minutes later, here's Tiff in the middle of these two people, like, breaking up, having a conversation with him. And I'm like,
that's fun. Can I hang out with you tonight? I want to go experience this.
Listen, my night ended with a twisted tea, so that's going to tell you how that was.
Do you think I have boring friends?
No, I know you don't. I hung out with a lot of the people I've met through you are now my friends. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Is that good or bad?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it's good or bad for them because of me. Somehow it works
out. Listen, we'll have a Teastone date with Angry Honolulu and Twisted Tea at the end of the day.
Oh, cool. I'm so in. That sounds amazing.
There we go.
Ooh.
Brittany's like, wait, I haven't.
Why do we have to wait? Can we do that now?
Who's going to make us a pizza here?
So we got the jam, though. Brittany created this at Cranon. We've been to too many events.
What did I do this
time? No, this is good. So
you guys are the traveling roadshow.
Okay, fistful of bourbon, ignore what I'm going to say. Peach Crown Royal.
Oh, yeah.
With Twisted Tea.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I haven't tried that yet either.
I'm learning so much stuff today.
It's a big kid Arnold Palmer. It's great.
Oh.
It's delicious.
So
she's shaking her head.
It's a problem. But the thing is a fistful of bourbon just would come out with a peach, right?
That's true.
Or when, hold on, not an if, when, right? Wink, wink, we're going to do this right now. When, hint, guys, come on, maybe a suggestion, salted caramel and peach. I don't think I'd ever have to buy anything else again.
That's true.
That would be good.
I love it, though. Like, I'm going to go on this tangent right now because we brought it up. Without trying, I feel like I'm the spokesperson for them because everybody that asks questions about it, I'm like, no, I'm not a whiskey drinker at all. And I legitimately like that whiskey. You know this. Like,
no,
you don't ever see me drink whiskey.
So what I just got turned on to the other day at the shop was it tastes like a Green Apple Jolly Rancher Monster.
Oh, yeah.
Paradise, the like all Monster Green can.
Yeah.
That is so good.
She got me started on those.
You mix that. Is that what you mix with the peach?
What?
No.
What? I'm so confused right now.
Twisted Tea.
No, I know that. I mean, before. Like, you guys, she's made me something with Monster when we were at King of the Hammers.
That was Red Bull.
Oh, oops.
Yeah, when we brought you your super secret.
Oh.
Yeah, when we brought him the cup.
Oh, so that was Tito's, orange juice, peach Red Bull,
and mango chunks for ice. So instead of the ice, I take the frozen mango chunks and I put that in for the ice.
Why didn't I get this?
You're actually working.
Oh, I was working. There's never not
I think
a day
we I'm offered.
No, but it's true. Like, because I'm always, always, always working. Even Crandon. Saturday night, everybody wanted to go hang out. And I'm like, I got to work, guys. I got to work on Sunday.
See, if you just get fired from your jobs like me and not get invited back to do TV, then you could party.
Jim.
Yeah, if you could just be social outcasts like us.
You have to suck more like me, Tiff.
You don't suck, Jim. You're awesome. No, but that's true. But Pete and I
No, remember she had to go see her cat.
I did.
Yes,
Joe was with me.
You travel with your cat.
For those who know, I have a little kitten. Her name is Joe, J-O. She's actually named after my grandmother, whose name was Joanne. She passed away. My grandfather passed away 72 days later. And so, like, I just named her after my grandma. She started traveling the country with me after 3 months. I took her to King of the Hammers when she was 5 months old.
Oh,
and she just travels everywhere with me. The cutest little kitten they've seen. And it's true. Like, when you travel as much as we do, sometimes you just want a little, like, piece of home.
Piece of home, yeah.
So she travels. It's the best thing. I put, like, a cat box in the back. It doesn't smell. And, you know, I put new litter. I get a new box. She goes to the bathroom. I scoop it. I throw it. Like, don't have to take her for a walk.
Is that how that works?
Yes. You know, I scoop it and do all that stuff. But, like, it's the best thing because, like, it's a piece of home, and she loves you unconditionally.
So do you put her on a leash when you stop?
I do. When we're done, I got video. She goes on a harness. We walk. We went to Sedona.
She's going to turn into the cat lady.
Don't tell me you have a stroller.
No. I'm not that crazy.
You don't have that weird backpack that looks...
I call her carrier.
I was going to have to break up with her.
I call her carrier a tiny home because I think cage or carrier sounds really, like, abrasive for some reason. So it's a tiny home. But the carrier, actually, you can put as a backpack, but not a bubble.
She speaks English, right?
Yeah,
she understands human.
She does. You guys.
I've got a Milo that needs to meet Joe.
Oh God! See, no, we want Joe to live. Okay.
Pete,
come on.
I really want to go. Now I want to try and get my cat and take him on trips.
If you ever want a cat that will travel, a rag doll, the breed of it is the dog of the cat world. So she like walks and she hates Pro Fours though. She hates Pro Fours and she hates trophy trucks. Just putting that out there in the world. She does. I don't know what to tell you guys.
So she doesn't try and run off. I mean, obviously you got a leash. So
no,
sure.
I'm gonna pull up a photo.
No, she tries to run.
Well,
she's
no.
Going,
I've thought about, like, we go to Glamorous on trips and take the trailer. I'm like, man, I want to take the cat. It'd be cool to take the cat with us. And I don't know. Nobody in my family is supportive of the idea.
Okay, so Pete one time's traveling, right? And there's. What? Do you not want me to tell this story?
No, I'm fine. I don't even know which one you're referring to. There's a handful of them.
The dogs?
Oh, she's awesome.
When you let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out?
Who?
Good Lord.
Did I do that, or did I really let somebody's dogs out? Oh, your dog.
Oh, it's all coming back.
Yeah.
All right, so, you know, traveling back and forth, being right off the 15 and I'm kind of centralized in Utah, anytime there's these events, I laugh because people will be like, oh, I spent the night in the Walmart parking lot. I'm like, I live 3 minutes away from that. Like, just come. Do you want a bed? I have two spare bedrooms. Like, it's offensive at that point.
Wait, where?
My house.
No, but where do you live again?
Cedar City, Southern
Utah.
How
far is that from Sand Hollow?
Like 40 minutes.
Maybe I might come there for trail.
I've offered.
Oh, you're gonna be up there?
I think so.
Cool.
Everybody, sorry.
No, you're good.
We're going to find pizza tonight. Sorry, Brittany.
No, I'm on the pizza conversation
I'm
now.
I'm all about that pizza life. Let's find it.
I'm pulling you right now. Brittany's
it's
like,
kind of your fault.
Squirrel.
You invite the chubby friend, and we're going to talk about food.
We do talk about food a lot.
I love food.
Okay, back to Nisha and her running away.
So anyway, so Pete stays the night or whatever. He's traveling. He's got to go.
Moab,
yeah.
Oh, I've
he's
heard
going
this
back.
Story.
Yeah.
I know where this is going.
And so I think I had a doctor, whatever. And so... I leave, my so-and-so whatever at the time goes to work or something like that. Anyways, I'm just trying to figure
out,
like, why you...
You're butchering the story. I say it so much better, I think.
Go for it.
So anyhow, I'm traveling. She's like, hey, stay here. I got an open room, blah, blah, blah. Makes sense. Cool. Perfect. I stop, and I get there, and she opens the front door, and Nisha, her oldest dog, comes out, and off-leash, everything. Comes out, happy to see me, blah, blah, blah. Get her bags. Cool. We hang out. Go to dinner. Next morning, she wakes up. She's got to run an errand. So the dog's by the front door, and I'm in the house doing computer work or something, just getting ready to continue traveling. I open the door thinking that's the norm for Nisha to go out the front door, do her business. Comes back. No, that's not the norm. So I open the front door. Dog sees it, bolts, and is gone up the street. I'm like, oh, crap. Oh, crap. Yelling the dog's name. Now I'm running after the dog. And at the time, I don't know, I haven't been to the house in a long time, but at the time, at the very end of the street, like a block and a half, two blocks up, was a farm, and there was like goats or sheep or something. The dog saw him, and it was like 100 miles an hour. And I'm running after the dog, trying to get him. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to lose her dog, and I know it's near and dear to her. It's her, you know, her baby. I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to lose the dog. I can't find it. It's going to get hit by a truck. All these things are running through my head. Finally, I catch the dog. Drag it back, and she comes back to the house, like, just as we get back in the door. She's like, how's it going? And I'm like, panting, out of breath. I'm like, your damn dog tried to run away, and I thought I was going to have to buy you a new one or something.
I go, why'd you let her out?
I said, that's what you did. I got here yesterday. You opened the front door. Dog came out. It was happy. Everything went well. She's like, oh, no, she runs. No shit, she runs.
And you're like, and now I run too.
Yeah.
No, I went to get breakfast burritos. I remember now.
Yeah, yeah.
So in the time I go to get breakfast burritos and I come, I'm like, you guys want breakfast burritos? I go get them. By the time I come back, he's just got this crazy story. I'm like, but what? What did you?
Like? She's like, why'd you let the front door? There's a backyard. That's all fancy. You did it.
Like, there's a doggy door, and he's like, I don't know, you did it.
Yeah, true. So. Well, Joe does run, by the way. She chases squirrels. I don't know if you guys knew about my squirrel dilemma. Literally,
Brittany and I chase squirrels too. So.
I know we're all chasing squirrels over here today. But no, so
squirrel
Joe
what?
Joe literally got out last week. I go to, like, and I can't find her. She loves to hop the fence. Like, she literally will climb up to go outside, and she bring, you know, cats, they, like, bring you back a gift. Like, look at what I got. And I'm like, no. So she goes, and I literally pick her up. Didn't realize she's on top of a baby squirrel. Mm-hmm. And the baby squirrel literally crawls up the entire of my arm and in my hair and figuring it out. So I'm trying to, like, do all this stuff. Trying to figure everything out. He's climbing, and Joe, I'm like, Joe, get back over there. And she finally comes back and all this stuff. I left the baby in Joe's tiny home outside to, like, do some stuff. The mom didn't come back. I know it's tiny home. Didn't come back. This was Frankie. I'm showing you if you can see this.
You named the squirrel.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, look at him. I don't think this video is going to play, but it's just, he had a squirrel.
Like, rabies or anything.
You're going to be super offended because I'm not a cat person, so I'm looking, I'm like, I would have kept Frankie and left the cat.
I know, but if we're ever eating pizza, the Angry Honolulu, don't let Joe out. She'll go get some squirrel, just like Brittany.
Thank you. See, a simple warning would have been nice.
Misha also, I call her cat dog because she sits on the back of the couch and she just looks at everybody with contempt. She's very judgy, and somebody walks in the door, and she'll just be like, eh, yeah, whatever.
Like mother, like dog.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. See, we're not even married yet, and we're already fighting. Go figure. No, so one, like, she will not leave this spot on the couch. I come home from, like, a week trip, and usually she'll run up and say hi, and she, like, kind of wags her tail, and she will not leave this spot. I don't pay attention, whatever. Keep going by. Finally, I'm like, what does she have in there? And so every now and then she'll get something leather. Like, she doesn't normally chew stuff, but she gets something leather. Sure. Whatever. It's shoe, glove, football, whatever. And she's just sitting. So I'm like, oh, what kind of toy does she have? Whatever. So I go to, like, push her out of the way to go grab it. Because once I'll go throw it away, she'll just be a normal dog again. Mm-hmm. And she hadn't eaten in 2 days. She had not left a spot. So I go to move her out of the way. And as I go to grab, she has a full-size squirrel.
Like a real one?
Legit.
Real full squirrel. Full-size squirrel wedged, like, into the couch. Like, she catches them.
Yeah.
But she, after she kills them, it wasn't live. But after she kills them, she doesn't, she literally just, it's her toy. It's her baby after that. And so she sat for 2 days.
With a dead squirrel.
And pancaked
couch.
The squirrel. So it was, like, it completely intact, but it was this pancake flat squirrel in the couch. And I went to grab it, and I realized what it was. And I was like, I jumped
That's a little
back.
Weird. It's a little odd.
My house isn't normal, okay?
So how soon did you get the couch steam cleaned after that, or what do you, fresh washed or whatever?
All of the above, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was debating on just getting a new couch.
Yeah, I was like, do you know Brittany? She just pushed it out in the thing
right?
And ordered a new one.
But the problem, so she did it again to me a couple weeks ago, and it was a bird. But at least she doesn't bring it in the bed. So she knows that when I wear high heels, the only time I ever wear high heels are when I go travel, like we go to Vegas or whatever for an event or something like that.
Yeah.
So she knows the only time those ever come out is when I leave. So she resents them. So she steals them. She'll only take one and she'll chew it up and she'll leave it under my, she stuffs them under my pillow. Like, she's as vindictive as it could be.
Yeah, she's odd.
So I'm thinking it's going to be like a shoe or something, like, no, squirrel, bird, whatever.
Some kind of dead animal. What's the other dog? You have two now, right?
Milo.
Milo. Has he got any weird quirks or anything?
That's a podcast in
another
itself.
Show for another day.
Milo is Milo.
That's, what does he do?
Everything.
Well, didn't you just send him to, like, obedience training or something?
Oh,
like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. He went out for like 3 months, came back. I was worried
was
he wasn't
better.
He's so much better, but he's still him. Like, he shadow boxes. And when I say shadow boxes, he literally, like, jumps up. How you've seen foxes on trampolines?
Yeah.
Those videos? He does that. But then they're awesome bull terrier noses that stick out like cones. He just rams that right into the carpet.
Oh. So he's not the smartest.
He's actually really smart.
You like how I just look over to him because I'm like, I don't know how to respond to this.
He's actually really smart. He's, I don't even know how to sum up Milo at this point. Like, he's just, Milo is Milo.
He's a mini
horse. He's got a heart of gold. Mm-hmm. He's misunderstood.
No, he likes to love other dogs and animals with his mouth.
So he kills other animals too.
I haven't let it get that far yet, but...
But he doesn't do it maliciously.
No, he's like an alligator, and this sounds so odd, but he literally, like, it's that prey drive, and it's so instinctual where he'll be fine, and then all of a sudden something moves too quick, and he literally just goes and just honk and locks in, and then he just stares at you. He doesn't do anything after he bites down.
So how are you raising two psychopath dogs? I mean, one...
I told her, I said, the funny thing is I said, you've got Misha and you've got Milo, polar opposites. But both of them reflect parts of her personality. So, like, if you spent time around the dogs, you would be like, "Oh, I see Britt in this one. I see Britt in this one." Like,
so offended when he said that. But
and she looks at me and she's like, "You're so right."
Oh, man, I wish you were.
As long as it's not the kill and prey
aspect
of their personality.
Don't want to find out, do you?
Definitely not. After 10, 12 years that we've been friends, I think I'm safe now. Yeah. However long. So.
We just
think,
right?
Just don't move too fast, okay?
Don't worry. I don't move too fast, and I definitely won't now. Well, in light of that, is it okay that I go hang out with Tiffany and we go have pizza? I'm not going to get in trouble, am I?
Only if I'm invited.
Well, of course. You and Jim.
Sweet.
We got to go for our grass nap afterwards or whatever. Yes.
Oh, boy.
That only happens after 2 a.m., though.
When you're, what is it? Not a car person? Or
Not in a car. Look at that person not in a car.
Not a car person.
What was the other thing I learned from
Sat on wet.
I
told you I have the best one-line bangers ever.
This podcast, we started with Maddie Wedeking. It was really good. And I feel like we've gone up here and progressively just...
It's not a crash and burn. It's like a roller coaster of highs and lows.
Well, this is a high depending on...
Who you ask.
Yeah.
I think it's a high. I like Pete.
I like pizza. Again, I laugh because for 10 years he's tried to get me on the show, and I was like, you are going to regret this. Now he's like, I don't know why I did this.
Yeah, you do great.
She wants her own segment now.
Oh. No, I want to facilitate a segment. There's a big difference.
No, you want your own segment.
I'm sure you covered this already, but what segment are you pushing for? Or what type of segment?
I got to come up with a good name. That's the only reason it hasn't happened yet. But basically, we know all of these awesome women in the industry, but I don't want to focus on the whole, like, feminist, hey, we're girls, we're awesome, No, I just want stories and topics, but I want to do one segment, like, quarter, a month, whatever. And I want to do a takeover on his show. And I want to get all the girls on, like, a panel. Like, Maddie, yeah. T-Stone, you know, everybody out. And just, like...
Yeah, Sierra Romo.
Yeah, thank you. See, again, this is why, like, sponsor list and stuff. I can't do what you guys do.
And just discuss what? Just being a girl off-road?
Yes, it's that simple, right?
She wants to key in on one topic, like, every single week.
Oh, yeah. Rotate. So we want to talk about, like, what's the craziest... story that, you know, somebody... So Maddie, the perfect example, and this actually is where it kind of peaked, is Maddie was talking about when she was out racing hammers. And you're godfather, right?
No. Matt, her boyfriend.
Got it. His godfather. Yeah, so you're like the second dad.
Well, I've known her since she was...
You're kind of like
I know,
a godfather.
Yeah, exactly.
Your family.
Yeah, definitely.
But
I mean,
so she was
8 or 9 years old. Yeah.
She was out at hammers, and she was pre-running. And some dude stops her in the canyon and says, why are you out here or whatever? She goes, well, I'm pre-running. And he goes, shouldn't you be back at camp making a sandwich?
Oh.
Yeah.
Sure that went well. As it would go for any of you.
Yeah.
No, and that's what I'm saying is, like, just having that banter of, like, people would be surprised on some of the stuff that the conversations we've had, the things...
True statement.
Yeah.
I think men would be embarrassed to know what women have gone through in this industry. Like seriously.
Probably.
Yeah. But it's not a fight like, hey, we're, you know, this or that or whatever. We've got it so hard. Nothing. Like, we just want to literally just sit back and chit-chat on to
share
us.
War
like,
stories.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. I used to work for Mopar Motorsports, living in Detroit. Obviously, the headquarters is right there. And I take my job and what I do very seriously. I want to know all the ins and outs. I want to know. So if somebody has a question, I know the answer. And SEMA, obviously, you know the type of people that go to SEMA and kind of all those things and everything. And for Mopar, I wanted to wear like a shirt dress thing that I'm kind of wearing today, like a casual kind of cool dress. But we had these sneaker wedges that we were wearing as well. And I was talking.
She's been very excited by this t-shirt dress, by the way.
By the way, I don't wear dresses ever. I usually wear all black pants and everything like that. But I did step it up, wore a dress today.
Very nice.
Thank you very much. I was explaining something to somebody that came through the Mopar display or whatnot, and at the end, the person said, "Well, why are you wearing a dress?" to me, and I said, and he's like, and knowing all of this information, do this, but why are you wearing a dress? And I said, because I'm smart enough to know that I can do both.
Ooh, I like that.
And that's really what it is. It's like, we're smart enough to know that we can do both. Why not? You know, at the end of the day, like many drivers, I mean, I've interviewed Sarah Price about it too. You know, at the end of the day, a helmet, a steering wheel, a Jeep, a vehicle, a car, you know, anything. They don't know what gender you really are. You know, it's just you kind of go out there. But it's, I think, being a female in the motorsports industry, and we've spoke about this, and I've spoke about it. If you want to be in the motorsports industry or the automotive industry, you got to work very hard. You want to be a female in this, you got to work twice as hard. And if you want to be a respected female in this, you have to do so much
Keyword,
work.
Respected. There's two ways we could go. We're definitely taking the hard route on it, and I wouldn't change it. Yeah, exactly.
And a lot of these things. And I've told Jim. Jim knows like what my end goals are. I want to be inducted into the Off-Road Motorsports Hall of Fame at the end of all of this. And that's a very...
That'd be awesome.
It's a cool... There's, you know, a handful of women, and I got to figure out which way and route. Obviously, I don't race or do anything. I'd love to, but I still do stuff with Jeeps. But like she said, it's to be respected in this industry and looked as an equal no matter what.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what she wants to talk
about. Yeah, well, and that's what we've always said. People go, man, you know a lot about this or that. Like, same thing when you and I, the first time we talked. And everybody goes, wow, you just know so much. Well, I have to. I go, anybody else? And, like, that's a sad reality. We're not trying to get serious. We want to keep it on the light side. But anybody else can go, hey, I'm an engineer. I'm marketing. I'm sales. I don't know. Let me ask. That's a fair answer. But as... Everybody comes up kind of expecting you not to, and it's one of the best feelings when you do have those answers and you get that respect, and it kind of, and they look at you and enlighten, and once that's established, it's great from there.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't have to get in the door with somebody.
No, I agree, and unfortunately, being a male in the industry and seeing like firsthand, you know, what you guys are talking about and what you experience. I mean, I obviously know you, Brittany, for a long time and know of your reputation. Unfortunately, it is that way. Like, kind of a funny story about it is our customer service lady, she's right over here, Mandy. She's our lead customer service person, knows a ton about our product. And she'll call me once in a while. She's like, hey, does this fit that? Or how does this work? You know, how do you install? And I'll help her through it. And then once in a blue moon, she'll say, hey, this guy wants you to email him, or this guy wants you to do that. And it's not really, she knows the answer. I'm like, why? Your boobs get in the way again? And it's a joke her and I have, but the guy won't believe her. You know, she'll tell him, hey, that wheel and tire combo won't fit your Razor. It's the wrong size.
Can I speak to a guy? Yeah, but on the other end of things, it would be like if you were working at Victoria's Secret and somebody wanted to get sized, and they go in and they go, hey, you know, is there a woman here that can size me? It goes both ways.
I don't know that metaphor really works. I'm pretty sure it'd be inappropriate for me to size somebody. But I get your idea.
Unless you're batting for the other side.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that works.
I live in Arizona, dude. You're in California, so it's a different world over here.
I just love tripping Pete up. Pete's like,
I've never seen you blush, and he's very bright red right now.
That's great.
Pete's like, how the hell did we get on this conversation?
So, Pete, let's go back to your beginning. Obviously, yes, Brittany, you know, you guys have known each other, but I just met you, and I really love you now. I think you're awesome. But really, what kind of got you into this? What got you into motorsports, off-road, pro armor, all of this?
It was just my way of life. Like, so my parents were into it. I was raised in Glamis.
My first time going to Glamis, I was 10 months old, and that was what my family did for pastime. We, you know, we weren't the Disneyland family or anything like that. We'd have sand rails. I grew up riding dirt bikes and quads, and, you know, grew up, went to college, went and got a job in finance and banking and did that for a number of years.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. I went to school. I have a degree in economics. So
that's awesome.
So I did that, and then
robbed a bank, got a ton of money, and then he had to pretend he had a job so he could retire.
Right, Fozzie Bear's gone places.
It's all buried behind the tree in the backyard.
That's
right,
awesome.
Now. So.
Did you do a Shawshank Redemption out there? Just bury some stuff out there once you get out of prison. You help some people.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do, man. It's a tough life. So no, actually changed careers probably 10, 15 years ago, and went and worked for a buddy that was just starting a fab shop. And I went back to school for some education, so it worked out. And then I always kind of thought, okay, at some point I'm going to have to put the suit back on. I have to wear a tie. Like, just growing up, going to college, that's what you think. I mean, your adult job's going to be a shirt and tie, working in an office kind of thing. And ended up working, getting a job with Pro Armor. And it was, to me at that point, it was a way not to do the corporate thing. I'm like, all right. I was kind of procrastinating, putting it off. And then Pro Armor got bought by Polaris, and I thought, I might be able to make a career out of this. I might not have to wear a suit ever again. Like, dressed up now as a polo shirt.
Yeah.
So, and I dig it.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I just kind of morphed into that and been with it for the last 8 years, I think. I think 2 weeks after this event is when I started for Pro Armor.
Awesome. And what's, I always like to ask everybody, what's a piece of advice somebody wants to come into this industry, they kind of want to do what you do. They don't want to wear a suit and tie. They don't want to do the normal 9-to-5. And what people don't realize is this is not a normal 9-to-5. It is a 24/7. But what is some advice that you would give anybody? Hey, this is something you want to do. You want to be in motorsports and off-road. This is the way to do it.
I would say just keep an open mind, be willing to learn, and be nice to everybody. There's no reason to be a jerk or out of line, because that person that you're mean to or, you know, have a beef with, whatever, is definitely, it's going to come back, because it's a small community, as all of us know at this table. I mean, it's a real small community. We're all friends.
Nobody
all
leaves, but that says something, right?
Yeah, well, none of us want to go put a suit on. or a formal dress.
Or a formal dress. I'm wearing a t-shirt.
Hold on. 80s prom night? Different story.
Different story.
Well, costume night. I'm in. I mean, I'll wear the tux.
No, you had to wear an 80s prom dress.
Oh. I didn't know it was roll. I mean, I was a Hooters girl a couple times for Halloween.
That's awesome.
Oh,
story
like
for
see,
another time.
I would like to see those pictures.
They're somewhere, yeah. The whole outfit, though. Yep. Yeah, it was a
Heat and booty shorts. That is a sight to see, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was different.
You shave your legs?
Oh, my
no.
goodness.
That makes it even better.
I think I did wear the tight thingies, though.
Oh, okay.
The tight.
The nylons.
Yeah,
Pete wore pantyhose?
Pantyhose, that's what they're called.
Oh, God.
And why are they called pantyhose?
Well, all of our brains are sitting there going,
Suddenly me and Jim are dead silent. I'm like,
literally, all of us kind of stopped and looked up like, whoa, that was a deep question here.
For real, we should have a segment of take words and be like, why are these words?
It's called the dictionary.
Good God. Oh, we got the snort. Only took almost 3 hours on air,
snort,
but we got the snort.
Air.
And that's probably a good way
Pete
to end
this. Oh,
Pete
doesn't know that, though. Anytime
is that the goal?
It is. Anytime I think something's very funny, I snort. So Jim literally tries to make me snort all the time. And he's right. Took 3 hours, and I finally snorted about pantyhose.
Awesome.
Brittany's comeback of it. It's called the dictionary, Tiffany.
Yeah.
You know.
So to that point, you remember, Brittany probably remembers. Remember my buddy Tig that...
Here we go aging again. Hold on.
Well, no. Yeah, it's a Sandsport story. So Tig, who was affiliated with Axie Alloys, a buddy of mine, and he had kind of a sad story. He had some kind of brain injury early in life and recovered and was doing well, but as a residual effect, if you got him to laugh too much, he would pass out. Like, right here.
Like a goat?
Kind of. Like, the snort would have equaled passed out in the chair for, like, a split second. So it was
just enough to be funny.
Yeah. So we are here at Sancho and everybody's having fun and, you know, in the campground. And it was always the goal to make him laugh or do something to try and get him to pass out and who could do it the most often.
Again, no alcohol.
None at all. So, yeah, we'd be hanging out and laughing, telling jokes. And the first time it ever happened to me, we're at King of the Hammers, another hammer story. And I'm laughing and we're having fun. And he gets down on a knee and kind of lays down. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, hold on, hold on. And he passed out. and he felt it coming on, so he didn't want to bang his head or anything else. But very similar, tried it.
To my snort story?
To the snort story. The long way around, sorry.
No, that's okay. At least you know.
Scenic route. We call it the scenic route.
The ins and out of my snorting. But here we are. So do we end on the snort?
I think so, because I could jump the shark there, but we're not going to.
Well, now it's just going to be focused on trying to get her to snort again.
Oh, yeah. That'll be pizza and drinks later. That's going to be how much you're going to get T-Stone
to
snort.
Now I know what I'm doing tonight. Pizza, yeah. Drinks, and trying to get her to snort.
The angry Honolulu.
Which, again, so there's another thing called Urban Dictionary.
I've heard of that.
Yes, okay, Urban Dictionary is awesome.
And I feel like the angry Honolulu might belong there.
I think California Pizza Kitchen needs to come up with the angry Honolulu.
It is a T-Stone special. You're welcome, everybody.
Pete, seriously, thanks for having us out here to the Pro Armor booth, buddy.
Oh, no, thank you guys for doing this. It's been awesome. Everybody enjoyed it, I think. So thank you guys. Thank you for coming and hanging out with us, Tiffany. I really appreciate it
as
well.
Thank you. Of course.
I hope it was hospitable accommodations.
Absolutely. It's good stuff. I mean,
our breezy easy up and a couple of chairs.
That breeze kicking up isn't bad. I'm not hating it.
I'm not hating it.
I actually got to sit in a chair for like the whole interview this time.
I was trying to find you another one. I was going to get you the stool.
You were literally selling stuff out from under me.
That was Mark. But, yeah. I left you alone. I just showed him seats in the cars, not the ones you guys are using. But thank you for being team supportive, our team player about it.
Team supportive.
Team supportive.
Or supportive team, whatever.
No, that's good. I'm a team supportive.
You know I'm like your number one fan on those seats, though.
I know. You sell them better than I do.
Well, that's because I'm like, I'm not just saying this because of whatever. Like, legit, you know, the first time I sat in those seats, I, like, melted. I was like, oh, my God. These are amazing.
I know. Well, I wish I had more to do with it other than putting the order in and sending them to you. But
I'm just fair warning. We've got the parts list for this new build that just showed up. She's now in charge of the build. This is the Brittany build.
Okay.
So I have no idea what color combination, what this thing. I'm just putting the disclaimer here. You and I are going to be surprised with whatever comes back from her being boss lady on this build.
How do you feel about neon?
I like neon.
Sweet.
We're actually working on some new designs for a couple of cars we got coming up. So, yeah, I've been looking at neon. What do they call that? The 80s throwback? Something?
Color block?
No, like all that.
Have you seen the Matco toolbox? The 80s throwback Matco toolbox?
No.
Oh. I texted to Brittany, and both of us were like, yes, we need this in our life.
Side note, I feel like we're doing a Midwest goodbye.
Yeah, hold on. 80s Matco Toolbox. Yeah, we'll sign off on that. But thanks, Pete, and see you next time right here on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor from Pro Armor at Sand Sports.